And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
That relatively concerned. You know what I did yesterday? I went to Home Depot. Okay, now fortunately, where I live, I have a couple of Home Depots and Lowe's like all around me. So I, within 3 miles, I can go and look. I tell you a story. I'm, you know, building a playhouse for the grandkids. You know, Papa, build me a princess house. Okay, that kind of thing. So I'm like, okay. And it turns into a thing, you know, because that's a thing. So it's a 2x6 platform, you know, on edge, you know, you build a grid. It's 3 sheets of plywood, so it's 8x12, and the 10-foot high wall, so that you got a second story with the deck overlooking with a carport for their electric car that they can charge with the solar panels that we have, the swing and the slide that goes with the zip line kind of thing. You know what I mean? So anyway, you know, so I have my sons and son-in-law come over this next week. By the time they get here to help, it'll be done. But we've been working on it for a while, and it's just as I get to it. But the reason is because the grandkids, they got to help. You know, we go to Home Depot. We get some of the stuff. They, you know, get to do the boom, nail gun. I mean, you know, they're getting some education out of the thing. Well, I went yesterday. Once I started to realize how much surface area the walls had, and it was breezy Sunday, a friend of mine came over to help me, you know, do some work on it. And I'm going, yeah, I gotta anchor this down, because it's the same kind of construction we did in our chicken coop, which used to be a tool shed, you know, that my sons did when they started getting motorcycles and everything. So we didn't have a place really to work on it. So I said, look, it'll build this shed, and then the walls, the front walls, were like drawbridge doors. You know, they're counterweighted, and they just went, boom, then it was like a deck, you know, so that they could work on everything, and then whoop, it went back, and it's co. When we move to this place from the other place, I wanted to take it with me. No, we don't want to dismantle it. Oh, it's such a pain. Well, now my wife's glad we did, because it became the chicken coop. And it's really, you know, you can do anything in it, you know. So I'm like, okay, so we'll do the same kind of construction. Well, I went to get some concrete to anchor it down because, you know, I think I'd get some wind to it and everything. And we did that on the original one, but it was a pain in the butt to, you know, undo it. But I did a little different this time. So I just need to get 4 bags of concrete. This is the old man both ways in the snow thing, okay? And I tell you, it was anywhere from as low as 3 to, oh my God, it's $6 a bag of concrete. $12.50 for a little bag of, you know, what was it, 25-pound bag, 50-pound bag, whatever, it's a bag of concrete. And the bags are smaller. They're not the big, they're getting smaller and more expensive. I remember at the peak when China was building their Three Gorges Dam kind of thing, and all the construction there doing sucking up all the world's concrete or something. You know, it got a friend of mine I was complaining to yesterday. He says, hey, man, I remember it hit $25 at one time. You know, there was a shortage of concrete in the building boom here in 07, you know, 06, 07, you know, right at the peak of before it took a dump. Is that, man, there was, you had to schedule your concrete months in advance for your development. And I'm looking at this and I'm going, I can't believe I started looking at the price. I remember it was $1.89 or something for an 8-foot 2x4. You know, they're almost $5 now. You know, so I'm just going, there's no inflation. Are you freaking kidding me? I'm complaining, and then Gene and Don around there go, yeah? When was the last time you went to the grocery store? It was for a 2-pound package, 2 pounds of ground beef, $12. Okay? I'm like, what? So this is what we did. We went, we've gone out twice to it. You know, when we first put it there, and then another time last September to a time capsule that we did out in the middle of the desert on the other side of a long canyon lake with the, you know, little slot canyon canoe to the thing that you hike and the miles back and you ain't finding it, okay? So we found a place where we have a nice time capsule, and it's a, Donna, do me a favor. There's an, in the room right back here on the right, there is one of those plastic big, it's an empty ammo box. Bring that. I want to show you what we used. And I think they're called 20 millimeter ammo something. Anyway, they're the polycarbon plastic something. And they're really good for a time capsule. And we put in there Ron Paul t-shirts and bumper stickers and, you know, a bunch of silver, different kind of, excuse me, commemorative silver. Like Aaron Russo and Ron Paul and Freedom's Phoenix silver rounds and so on. Yeah. Now this one's got stuff in it. Okay. This. All right. This is the dimension. Now they seal and you can put on, you lift them like this. Okay. So you got, you know, you put some goodie in it. So this is what we did. Now they, and it seals tight. It seals tight. So, you know, wind, rain, whatever, kind of whatever you put in there, it's gonna stay. So we went back out last time. We're like, you know, we're going to get serious about this. So we put a 357 Magnum in there with some ammo. You know, yeah, it's a, you know, is it good, the bad, and the ugly? You know, you got to go bury it, you know, dig it up. So there's enough silver in there to be worth something. I mean, even at today's prices, I'll bet you there's, I don't know, $200-$300 in silver. So someday that might be worth, hey, man, it's time to go get that capsule. And there's a few people know where it's at. I mean, if they want that bad, they know where it's at. But the we took the mailers, you know, the things that you get in the mail that have all the coupons and so on. And the first time we did that, we put that in there. The second time we did it again. I'm going to go and do it again. That time capsule is going to be worth opening just to see over a short period of time the freaking prices of everything, which is why we did it. And with the silver. Now, it's at $19 now, you know, and it was as high as, I don't know, what was it, something stupid, you know, 40, you know, 48. And I think it was, yeah, I think it hit 48 in the last few years, something like that. That's going to change, you know. I'm pretty confident that that's going to change. Excuse me. So it's coming. I mean, can you feel it? Can you feel it? When I look at, you know, my bills and I start seeing, you know, the electric, you know, my daughter and son-in-law just got solar. You know, they did the thing, solar, they're putting it all in, got all the, you know, and had the guy do the presentation and the, you know, yada, 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 yada. So they're spending, you know, a lot of money on doing, but it's only, yep, get this, you know, I remember an episode of Three's Company, you know, with the ditzy blonde, you know, what's her name, Suzanne Summers. And she bought 4 bags, big bags of bird seed and a bird seed bird feeder. And they're like, what did you do that for? Well, it didn't cost me anything. You know, I say the bird feeder is $20, but I saved like $5 on every bag of bird seed. So I bought, you know, 4 bags of bird seed. I saved enough money to buy the bird feeder. Ah. Is that where we're at? Yeah, it's just, okay. We're going to tell you who we're going to have on when we come back. We got some good second, third hour show. There's some other stuff I want to tell you about, magazine stuff, when we come back.
We know you're out there. We can feel you now. We know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. We don't know the future. We aren't here to tell you how this is going to end. We're here to tell you how it's going to begin. We're going back to editing the next edition of Freedom's Phoenix Digital Magazine now, where we are telling the people what you don't want them to know. We're showing them a world without you, a world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries, a world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice we leave to you. Subscribe at freedomsphoenixeasy.com. That's freedoms with an S, phoenixeasing.com.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Welcome back. Okay, this is what's going on. We're taking our time on this magazine edition. We knew we were going to delay it because, you know, vacations and stuff. But the this is going to be the last one for a little while. We're going to be diverting our attention to the newspaper. And it was, we at first we were thinking that we'd do both and so on, but some of the people that we hired to, you know, help with kind of just didn't have the skills, you know. So we have another guy coming in, well, two guys coming in today that we're going to be working on more of our video production. So we got some guys working and training and auditioning for that. And then for the layout on the newspaper with guys, a subcontractor that we've used before to do it. So we're going to be meeting on that. We have a lot of the articles ready, a lot of the, even the sponsors and some of the ads and everything. It's kind of, it's getting built up. The thing is that I don't like forcing something like this. I'm not going to put a deadline on it. You know, it's just it's a timing thing. Well, things are starting to come together, and I can see, you know, tell me if you see the same thing. What? I didn't hear you. Okay. This is what I'm looking at. There is a crackdown. I can see, you know, it's almost like you're a third world dictatorship of they're going to take over the TV station kind of thing. I mean, that's what they always do first. You know, first, you take down the communication. You tell them, you know, what's what. Of course it's true. I saw it on TV. I mean, you know, so it's, wag the dog when they did. What? They stopped the war? You know, they can't stop the war. It's our war. He goes, the war's over. I saw it on TV. Yep, I saw it on TV. It's over. Done. Next. Now what we got to do? This is how, you know, I guess we are, certainly the way they think. You start to have, like, Adam Kokesh has his Facebook page taken down. You know, and it gets, I don't know if it's back up or not, but it's over a photograph of a young girl that was burned. I mean, it didn't show any private parts or anything, but she's like nude sitting on, you know, a table with burns all over from, you know, a U.S. drone strike or something. Then you have Stefan Molyneux speaks in Europe. I think it was Netherlands or something, Amsterdam or whatever. He's over there talking. He's, you know, I mean, I didn't think it was like that bad, you know, or that great or earth shattering, whatever. Anyway, he hammered on the central bankers. You know, you start going up against the machine, the man, you know, certainly American and a foreign country, you know, he's not married, Canadian, but, you know, he just really hammering on him. And then for a few, all of a sudden your YouTube channel goes down. Oh, didn't you? You need to understand who your master is, boy. You know that you didn't know. Explain it to you. Then you have, you know, like Angel Clark and Terry Lupo start to come to the realization that they really don't have as much control or access to their friends on Facebook as they thought they did. While Pete Iyer from Cop Block, while Pete Iyer from CopBlock.com was here during the summer, in February, he spent a week, about 2 weeks here hanging out in Arizona going different things. And matter of fact, he and the demo, we're going to have a demo on the third hour. Ha, 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 ha. Talking about, they're going after him again for another wiretapping thing of the one they just did and you not guilty of something. I mean, we're going to find out what's going on. And CopBlock, they created a lot of supporters and so on that have access to their videos and such or upload videos. And they're kind of, doing the peaceful, cop thing. But all of a sudden, they're starting to realize that they're not getting full access to all their friends and stuff either. So they started doing, thanks, Ernie. This is a good idea you just had. We need to get that database. We need to build up a list of our supporters, get their emails. Because, trying to maintain contact or counting on Facebook to allow us when we need it, not a good idea. And I tell you, one of the reasons is things like when I was traveling to the Texas Bitcoin Conference, they routed us off of I-10 south of Tucson out in the desert. It was like a 50-mile, right. There's a 10-mile break or something. So it's all of a sudden they go, yep, and detour over there. And it's out in the middle of the there were two checkpoints. Out in the middle of the desert off the highway as we're out in the middle of the nothing, they could have done whatever they wanted. And I'm going, is this a test? I mean, what the heck? No explanation, no nothing. It's, it's midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, you're out in the middle of nothing. So I have Quick on my smartphone, it's an app that, links up to a you just, turn it on, it starts recording video, and boom, it posts it up. Well, I've had it on there for years, guys hook me up because, and I go, ooh, here's a really good opportunity. Every time I go through a checkpoint, I always hit the Quick button. So as I did that, going in, all of a sudden I get a call from Pete Iyer. Hey, you okay? Right on. That worked really good. You guys monitored. Okay. I feel that my demise will be documented. That's good. So I appreciated that. So there's a lot of good reason for us to, stay in contact with each other. I remember there was an app. I don't know if I have it on this phone. I've been through phones. And it was called the arrest button, or I just got arrested, or I just arrested, or something like that was the app. And what it was is you would preset it to where, I'm at this event, I'm doing this thing, I'm at, this place, I, should be back by this time. And then all of a sudden, they're arresting everybody or start doing the beatdown or whatever, and you just hit the panic button on it, and boom, and it transmits to everybody the information that you put in just by hitting one button. It's kind of like a speed dial for, hit me! The fact that we even have these kinds of apps, what does that tell you, So I feel it. I feel it. Can you feel it? I feel it. With inflation hitting so hard, I look at my daughter and my youngest daughter, and Sierra's having a baby. They are, they're doing okay. Now, Georgie's got a good job, and she's going to start winding down her job, and they're staying with his parents. They got a big house, with, plenty of room, and they did two rooms, they're going to be fine. She got another car, the other one was kind of starting to go, even though it was a cute car. But, so they're getting all set up, they're doing okay. So, but I worry when I think of it. I'm glad she's not going to be working anymore because she had to drive a long ways. It's just ridiculous. And it was gotten rush hour, big city traffic of, 30, 40 miles or something. It was something stupid. And I go to fill up a gas tank, and I'm going, who can afford this? Hourly wages? Somebody, I make $15 an hour, which means you're starving. That used to be when we graduated high school, friends of mine, couples, they get married making both $4.50 an hour working at assembly line at Honeywell or wherever the heck it was here. Ooh, I got a job at, whatever place, making $4, $5 an hour. We both, woo, we're rich. And I'm going, So inflation has taken a big jump in just the last few months. Things are going to start happening, and I can feel it. What are we doing about it?
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. That's what it's going to take. You know, independence declaring, because, I mean, dang. You know, if you don't, then you're dependent, and that kind of sucks. And it's going to get more and more and more dependent on something. I mean, it's, you know, everything a growing body needs as the goop comes out of the tube, you know? Okay, so who are we having on today? All right, let me tell you, you know, what we're doing. Chris Duane, sonsoflibertyacademy.com. Don't hyphen tread hyphen on dot me. And Sons of Liberty Academy. Now, he's really big on silver stacking. You know, silver. You know, it's hard, you know, for guys when they, you know, silver goes down, you know, down half what it has peak kind of thing. And they're like, see? You know, like my son, he goes, I tried that. That didn't. I'm going, whoa. Tried what? You're 27. You didn't try anything. did you keep it? You know? No, you know, I'd rather buy guns and ammo. So, all right, fine. You know, that's about as good. So, I, you know, whatever. But you're accumulating some cash. So, I'm going, okay. But, you know, I'd really feel a lot better if you just, you know, buy and just get a hunk of silver, sit over there. What do you care? You know, just put it over there. Just, you know, just. Well, you know, one son didn't. All right, so, you know, I'm not going to get any pleasure in saying I told you so one over the other, you know, but they're both doing okay, so I'm not going to complain too much. But the I really would feel a lot better if they had a good giant, you know, stack of silver, even a, you know, moderate stack of silver just for grins. I mean, 1,000 ounces just for the heck of it. How much is that at nothing prices now? $20,000, you know, could be the difference between, you know, starving and not. And I got, but what do you get it for? It's just delayed spending. And it's for whatever you need it for when you need it. Because I tell you what it's going to come down to. All that silver is going to be gone when you're hungry, You know, say, oh, I'm sorry, and I traded in for food. So what should you do? You should get the food while it's cheap anyway. And we're starting to find out it's not cheap anymore. I mean, you know, heck, you make more money if you got big giant bags of rice. You know, and every time I get scared, you know what time it's, I'm nervous, scared time. You know what that means, Donna? Time to go get some more beans. Yeah, time to do something. So we've, you know, gone through the stockpile of the seed thing. You know, we've gone through the stockpile of some, you know, camping gear, and we get, you know, some, you know, we make sure the vehicles are working good, and we get the tires and kind of, you know, just get ready kind of thing. And you go through stages of concern. You go, okay, you know, I'm feeling, I think I'm got, you know, kind of relaxed, and we can just chill and I can build playhouse. And then you see the prices of construction equipment, I mean, materials and stuff. And I'm just going, wow, this is wow. Now, fortunately, we live relatively modestly, and we don't have, you know, a lot of bills, and we, you know, don't commute that much. You know, we have, our cars are paid off and a decade old or more. You know, I have an Impala, Chevy Impala, 2003. I like that car. It does pretty good, but the transmission is starting to slip a little bit. It's about time. I got to think about. And Donna's like, I want a diesel truck. You know, so we're kind of looking at that. And if like $8,000, maybe you can get something decent, and we trade in, you know, a couple of the cars and doing kind of maybe. You know, we're kind of, you know, we're getting set, you know, for later. Okay. I am really, I share my worries with the audience because that's what I do. You know, our life is pretty open. And my thing is that I'm getting increasingly concerned because they'll tell you there's no inflation. And the more they tell you, the more I see it, then the liars. This is getting, I mean, you look at food, because I don't shop that much. I'm going to have to, when do you go to the grocery store next? I mean, we don't really get that much. go ahead and come on, Mike, baby. This is, you know, what is it that, you know, we don't really get? I mean, we're not, people come in big giant bags of all kinds of stuff, you know, cereals and crap and everything, boxes and packaged, and we don't have a lot of packaged stuff, do we?
No, we don't.
So what is it that you're buying? I mean, where do you see the inflation?
Well, I mean, mostly what I buy is produce for the juicing. We get the, you know, the flaxseed oil and all of those things. I mean, they're not cheap by any means. I mean, just a little bottle of that flaxseed oil is like $15. So, I mean, it's not cheap, but I mean, those are the things that I buy. We don't buy cereals and packaged noodles and all, you know, all these weird things. A lot of it's meat.
Mylar bag meals.
Yeah, we don't do that. I mean, it's rare. I mean, that's not to say that they don't exist on our shelf, but, you know, we use Himalayan.
Donna, open the Lay's potato chips.
Yeah, I got to have those every now and then. But, I mean, we use things like...
Yeah, bag
like,
will sit up there for weeks, us looking at it, and it's who does it first.
I'm not proud. I'll do it.
you open the classic Lay's.
But things like... So, I mean, even though we don't buy a lot of stuff, things we do buy are higher quality. So, it's kind of a wash. I mean, like, you see the honeys in there. Those are organic raw honeys, and... Organic vanilla for the stuff, and organic nuts and fruits for the kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, we went all Gerald Celente, you know. He's local and quality and not buy this crap. I mean, he's always screaming that. And I start to see it in our own life. We just kind of, okay, I see what you mean. You know, but the we try and get quality, you know, nutrition-dense kind of food and everything. I think even though it's expensive, I mean, what's our grocery bill? Because it's not just us. I mean, there's parties, you know, a lot of people, they bring their own stuff. We probably net some benefit there, except it's all, you know, a lot of crap food. But, you know, that's left over. But, you know, hey, that's where you get your Lay's potato chips. Mm-hmm. The, what is our monthly bill for the way that
food? Maybe like $800. I mean, which is a lot of money. But, I mean, but that's, you know, buying fruit for the kids when they come and... And, you know, we have...
Damn, grandkids are expensive, man.
Well, I mean, we have the kids over for dinner, you know, when we watch them, they stay for dinner usually, so we do that. I mean, that's not expensive either, but, you know, it adds up when everything's more expensive.
Wow, it's still $800 a month?
Probably not that much on average, but, I mean, it can get up there. And if we're having parties, yes, it's more, because we're...
Okay, so, I mean, if they eat the way that we do without frills... You know, and stay maintain healthy whatever for grandkids and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what are we looking at? We're looking at least $500 probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but
hand me that black calculator that's over there. I want to do something real quick. This is, I mean, what is minimum wage now? It's $8 and something? Or is there a minimum? I don't even know.
I have no idea.
Okay, so let's say $12 an hour. That's like, you know... You know, they don't get off welfare for less than $12 an hour. Okay. So you go $12, you know, times 40. Okay. So that's 480 times, what is it, 4.2 in a month or something like that? So that's $2,000. So $2,000 a month. Oh, yeah. And then you got to do $2,000 a month. You're making $12 and working full time. So 2,000 times. I don't know. How much are they taking taxes and stuff out? You know, 73.6%? I don't know. What is it? It's probably at least 20, 25% and all the tax crap, probably. You know? So let's say 20. So that's $1,600 a month. So how much is it for rent for some place? I mean, you can't get, you know, a crap apartment for less than, what, $700,
$800? $700, you can't rent a house for probably something decent for less than $1,000 or
okay, so
12.
For a couple of people, if you're like, God, at least $400, you know, for a couple of people, you're looking at, you know, like nothing. God forbid you have a car.
That's why most people have to work, you know? I mean, they have cell phone bills, and they got, you know, cable and satellite.
They're slaves.
I mean, seriously, yeah. I mean, and car, and I mean, that's why I'm not interested in getting another car. If I do it, we'll pay cash when we have it. Or we'll trade up or something. I am not buying a new car and financing it.
Yeah, no. I mean, why do you want a diesel truck so bad?
Because we have a lot of other things that we've done a lot of prepping for, and I think a diesel truck would be a good add because you can put anything in it to run it, you know?
You know,
plus, I always wanted one. We need a pickup. It's been a long time since we've had a pickup.
Yep, got the trailer. Got a trailer. But, you know, it's without that trailer, life would suck, you know. All right, we'll talk last segment here before we get to Chris Duane. And then third hour, Damo Freeman.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free. I want to break free from your
lies! Lies, 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 lies. I'm covering the secrets, exposing the lies. And how are we going to do that more? Okay. I need to talk to Barry Hess. He's running for governor again. And Pal Gamble's running for U.S. Congress again. You know, it's like, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth time, whatever. I've run for office every year since 1990, except in 02. You know, I was busy. I was helping people do whatever. And then 10 and 12. I didn't do 10, I don't think. So I'm just kind of like, there's other people. You know, I tell you one thing that's happening, though. Is the issues are really coming our way. And all these politicians, you go to these forums and Barry doing the governor thing, get up and say, and, you know, freedom and anarchist, whatever. And, all these politicians go, hey, well, you're not talking about me. There's 535 quality people up there doing their best to kind of, ooh, America. And you look at them, you're going, wow, what bubble have you been living in? So, It is entertaining, and there are a lot of opportunities for us to have some fun. And it's also, my big thing is changing culture and, you know, having an impact. You know, what can we do? And the easing has been really good about, you know, because, and it's been essential that we do the magazine as we have for as long as we did, because I thought it was very important to me that of all the things that are on Freedom's Phoenix and all the stuff that's there, that we have something that represents what we wanted to talk about. 3 years worth, 36th edition of the e-zine that has, you know, a lot of great writers, a lot of great stuff. And this month it'll be out, today, tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about it. We'll get it done when we get it done. But it'll probably be today. But the thing is that, you know, we're spending some extra time on the cover. It's going to be, you know, protesting for universal, like galactic, you know, individual sovereignty from Mars. Yeah, you'll like the cover. It'll be fun. But the, you know, this is a, and it was more than a labor of love. It's a labor of necessity. It's a timestamp, you know, for all the kids and for our friends and for the readers and our supporters and so on. These are the things that, you know, how to make a still, how to do, you know, piracy, BitTor, Bitcoin. We've been following that for years. You know, how to, grow your own garden, aquaponics, and doing, you know, I mean, all the things that we've been, you know, this is stuff that I think they need to know. And this edition is going to be, let me tell you what else you need to know. You need to know that you need to make sure everybody else knows, you know. So we're going to go ahead and go into what we know. And our roots is back to street activism. And, you know, we're kind of past the freeway signs and all that kind of stuff. Keep in mind, you know, before 07, the internet had not really been used as a just big, giant, massive movement in America towards a common kind of leave me aloneism. The Levolution did that. A whole new generation, they didn't see that one coming. You know, they're like, and they're gearing up. They're always fighting the last war. Well, we remember when, you know, newspapers, they buy their ink by the barrel kind of thing. Now, and they'd say that too. They'd be, all right, well, you gotta try, you know, we're the only game, and you gotta, you know, we're like, bite me as we're buying the AB Dick 360 printing presses that's out in the barn right now, that when we need to, we'd be using it. You know, we got the DVD duplicators and the newspaper we've done in the past. Just look up Western Libertarian Paper, and you'll see what it looks like. You know, we've done, that was the last one we did, was a decade ago, 10 years. In fact, it was like this month, 10 years ago. So we're going to go 10 years resurrecting, and we're going back. We have some guys coming in today that we're going to start doing more video. We're going to start, you know, loading up. We're getting ready because I feel the street activism coming again, but we need to create templates for you to be able to do your own newspapers. So we'll get the InDesign files that will have it all. All you got to do is, you know, add, subtract whatever we got in content. It's like, you know, imagine you get your USA Today with freedom oriented stuff and you go, I like this picture, but I want to replace it with this one, this article, and change in these two pages. Going, boom, now we got ours, take it to the printer, and, you know, and we got our own 10,000 copies of We Can kick Their Butt in the local area of They Suck. Okay? So we're going to do that. And it's because LRN has pre-funded the satellite channel. So we got the satellite. Then we got Next News Network and on Roku. You can go on your TV and you got it. You know, the infrastructure is there just enough for us to be able to be the alternative. The new media, Donna. What do you think? I mean, you know, is the magazine? Do you like doing that? Are you ready to kind of shift over a little bit? I mean, you know, what do you think is? There you go. What are you looking at doing?
Working more on the funding center and marketplace because I think all the things we did in the magazine, I think we pretty much covered a lot of different topics, and it's there for the archive and all of that. So we need to focus on the future and the getting projects that need funded out there and marketplace so we can have an alternative
place. Yeah, the marketplace. That's one thing I've been, you know, just, you know, doing the Khrushchev, Brezhnev, whatever it was. I think it was Khrushchev, you know, banging his shoe on the podium at the UN. I'm going, marketplace, marketplace, marketplace. See, the thing is that there's always some little thing we got to do. Right now, you'll see that. If you've been paying attention to the site, you've been, you know, some kind of, it's looking funky and different things are changing. And, you know, because we're changing some of the software in the background, the WordPress or the editing, the editor that goes into some of the customization stuff we do on the mid pages and with our writers and stuff, blah, blah, blah. Tiger's been, you know, working on changing that because there's a lot of changes that goes on in. See, we've went at the internet differently. And the use of it. We started in 05 before WordPress. What's that? You know, I mean, it was all PHP original coding that Tiger did. And we just said, hey, I want to do, can you do it? Well, yeah, but it takes, well, just, you know, let's do it. I don't know how to do it or talk about it. Doesn't matter. It's going to change 3 months from now anyway. So let's just go ahead and get these features up. So we do that. And then you'll see the browsers change. So you got to do some alterations, you know, different things that you use like editors, but it's all original coding pretty much. But sometimes you'll need some little Java this or something that, and everything changed, update. It's like your Adobe update all the time crap. Well, we've been kind of insulated from a lot of that because we did it all original ourselves and open source Linux kind of server bite me stuff. Well, what happened was one of the things that we had plugged in years ago, the company went out of business and there's no upgrades for the new whatever that does a lot of some of the editing, the way we were able to insert pictures and all that. So it's been all weekend, you know, that Tiger's been working on getting a new one installed and the settings all set up to our customized whatever. So there'll be some more bugs, you know, here as it looks like it's, you know, semi working now, but we'll get it all taken care of. We have to get everything set. You know, for us on this new launch, because we got the new format of the front page. Keep in mind, I mean, it started off with me, Tiger, and Pal. I mean, you know, that, and we're still head down plowing this stuff. It's really gotten, you know, a lot of features, a lot of stuff. It's ready for the next stage of what we're doing, but we need to make sure all the back end stuff is stabilized and done. We're even have an activist out of Maine that's helping us with our email dispatch so that we can use various different servers that we send the files of what's going to get sent in the database at that time to that server to do the sending cut, because I know that's where the weak link is. They can start shutting down the communication with subscribers. They're going to, you know, I can feel it all over the internet. Is they're going, yeah, no, you're spammers, or we shut you down, or Verizon blocks you, and if AT&T and Verizon start making noise, you already know it's the man, you know? So I'm just going, I can feel it coming. I've been through this kind of stuff before. It's like the feelers. They start shutting down little stuff, and I'm going, no. So we're going to, you know, start focusing more on street activism, but on a global scale. You know, act locally, think globally, you know, and we're going to do it on a local level and provide the tools for everyone to be able to do it. Because that's always what's been the problem. A lot of graphic design guys, but no ideas. You come up with the ideas, you got a lot of graphic people doing stuff. I mean, it's just, it's going on and on. I can see the battle amping up in 14, and then, of course, going into 16. You know, I mean, you ready to head down and plow again, Donna? I mean, what else do we do?
Yeah, that's what we do.
And it's our grandkids kind of stuff. But we're going to be talking a lot more about this kind of thing and why and how close we are with Chris Duane that's coming on in the next hour. And then where the rubber meets the road, where people are actually, you know, going up to the man and saying, "Please be upon me, brother." You know, cop block for the Damo Freeman. It's here. How do you combat this evil? There's a lot of creative ways. We're going to help. Because we, you know, it's like Spider-Man thing. Because we can. So there's more than obligation. It's in our best interest to help. Because I want to be free, too.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
Independence here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. We have Chris Duane. Christopher Duane's a financial investing expert, founder of Sons of Liberty Academy. Chris is also a U.S. Marine, never former. That's one thing I always find out about these guys. Man, you're a Marine, you're a Marine. A venture capitalist and became a self-made millionaire by age 30. Since 01, he's been able to increase his net worth an estimated 3,750%. I can do that by filling up my gas tank. While the housing stock and job markets have been tanking, he was able to accomplish this. We're going to find out a little bit about that. Chris Duane's YouTube channel, Greatest Truths Never Told, has over 3.5 million views since its debut, of which a bunch of them is me. Chris believes massive change is coming and that if you are aware and prepared for the change, you will be able to create generational wealth. Like whenever there's a depression, the guys that come out of that, they be richified, you know, and everybody else, they're not. You don't hear the stories about the guys that not unless they had a whole bunch before, but some of the guys, they invested correctly. You chose wisely, and now you got some money. Chris Duane, hello, good morning.
Hey, Ernie, how are you? I got to give you an update on that intro. It's I mean, we're over 12 or 13 million views on the YouTube channel, and you know, the amount of money that we had made going probably about 2 years ago was probably about that, and since the price of silver's fallen, it's probably half of that. But still, overall, I mean, if you look at what I've been able to do over the past decade, while you know, the housing market's been sloshed around in the, you know, the 2008, I mean, I've done pretty well by, you know, kind of thinking outside the mainstream and not following the crowd. And I think that the whatever moves that we're going to have next are going to be even more epic than what I was able to accomplish before.
Yeah, my sons, they're on my, because I finally got them, you know, was in the 20s to buy silver, and then it went down again. They're going, "You were wrong." I'm going, "Man, you know, I just, hey, what do I get? I told you so later. I mean, what are the benefit do I get here?"
Exactly. I think that's, you know, Ernie, the thing is, like, either get it or you don't. Either you're chasing after illusionary wealth and looking for digits on your computer screen to, you know, to give you that warm, comfy feeling that you're somehow wealthy, or you can actually look around you at the people that you have in your life, the real wealth that you can touch and the real skills that you have to create wealth. Sadly, I think most Americans over the past couple generations have moved horribly away from what made this country great. I mean, we were farmers. We were industrial, manufacturers. We were, the freest people out there, and we're so horribly, retardedly wrong, I can't even bother spending any amount of time listening to anybody, who thinks that, having some, digits on a computer screen makes them more wealthy than, some guy who's got a jar of 19, 64 silver dimes that he's been saving up all of his life. So, there will come a time, Ernie, that, the wheat will be, separated from the shaft. And unfortunately, like you said, there's no benefit of saying I told you so at that point. And I really wish that more people would, consider, having real tangible wealth instead of intangible wealth. And, until then, I've really started just concentrating on all my energy on things that I can control and let everything else go.
Well, fortunately, one of my sons has the family. I got him when it went. From the time it went below 30, I go, look, it's below 30. Man, you need to stock up. Now. It hit below 20. He stocked up. And he's like, nan. I'm like, okay. So, yeah, lucked out, man. Fallen knives. But, I had people on there saying that silver's going to go down below 15. And they say, I'm being conservative. We really think it's going to go below 10. And I'm like, good. That means I get to buy more.
Well, I don't see how that could possibly happen.
I hope I get to buy more.
we're in such a ridiculous market right now where the price of silver has dropped. The demand for silver has skyrocketed. You look at the sales figures from the Royal Canadian Mint and the U.S. Mint from 2007 to today, and they're up 400-500% in real physical ounces. I mean, they used to do 5 million ounces a year. Now they're doing over 40 million ounces year after year, and the price drops. The uses for silver have become more plentiful as time goes on into higher technology units, and the price of silver has dropped. You look at the amount of debt that has been created just since 2007 to 2009, the federal debt. I think we were at, $8 trillion, and now we're over $17 trillion in just, 7 years. So there's tons more money out there. You look at the status of the dollar itself on the international scene. In 2007, we were still buddy buddies with, countries like China. We were still able to, enforce our diplomatic power all over the world and run over places like Libya. Now we can't even start any incursion into Syria. Forget about Iran. Now we're playing hooky in the Ukraine. We don't even have diplomatic relationships with Saudi freaking Arabia. I mean, that's the backbone of the petrodollar, and we don't even have diplomatic relations with them. And somehow the dollar is stronger today than it was in 2007, and silver is, and silver and gold are worth nothing. The German central bank trying to get 3,300 tons of gold that they have held overseas when they feared the Russians charging over their border and stealing all their gold. And the Federal Reserve says, that all that gold that you lent with us, well, you can't have it for 7 years. And maybe we'll give you 5 tons until then. And then you got the consumption of China. There's been months where they're importing more gold, just China, through one city than all the world is mining that month. I mean, these are astronomical numbers. So, to listen to anybody who, somehow thinks that, silver is dead and gone, and that the dollar's going to rock on, and, Yahoo, Dow Jones Industrial Average and all these other things, I think that they're literally parting on the decks of the Titanic, and I couldn't be any more, positive about silver. And like you said, it's on sale. I mean, when is there anything that you want to buy that the price goes down that we should be upset about. I mean, this is the most brilliant time to be buying ahead of what I believe is going to be the single largest event in human history whenever the dollar dies.
You know, what you said, you know, but there are other things that have got the young guys all a Twitter, and mm-hmm. it's called Bitcoin. You big Bitcoin fan?
No, I never have been. And in fact, I was one of the first guys that they approached back in 2011. Just out of the blue one day, I just got all these questions about Bitcoin, and they knew that I was very, I had already made my name for silver and made the case for silver and why people should own silver, and that it's the ultimate anti-dollar move. In fact, most people don't even get the dollar is literally defined by how much silver, you know, they have. So when Bitcoin came around, man, I was very leery of it and a major opponent over time.
Well, we're going to talk about, the end game. You know, I feel it. In the first hour, I was talking about the, you know, just the inflation that they say is not happening, that BS, you know. And I'm going, that's going to hit the commodities. And something's happening. Is there manipulation? You know, that's one thing that, of course, there's manipulation. But, I mean, how do you quantify that? How would you make your proof? How would you, you know, convince people? I mean, 2020 hindsight, but, you know, now you're going, they're out. And I can look at various, you know, I can give anecdotal stuff and stories of and all that kind of stuff. But,
You'll never get proof because they own all the, I think the challenge is how isn't it rigged? I mean, literally, the LIBOR scandal is the single largest financial scandal of all time. And yet there hasn't been one banker that has gone to jail. I mean, this literally rigged, and this is admitted, they literally rigged trillions upon trillions of dollars of derivatives based off of interest rates for the bankers to make money. HSBC is found caught laundering billions of drug dollars. Not one banker goes to jail. They literally own the media. They own all the things, the regulatory agencies, it's a revolving door between bankers and the politicians. It's like, I think the greater challenge is to prove, like, how is it fair? How is this a legitimate market? How is there any free market that there? That we haven't had free markets for years.
Are you familiar with Patrick Byrne's efforts over at Overstock?
Overstock.com. I know of him. Yeah.
We had him at the Freedom Summit, and his big, and I've had him on the show for probably 4 or 5 years. And right now, he is $20 million into his own money into a lawsuit with the SEC and Goldman Sachs. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's getting all kinds of discovery and opening. It's got to the point that his lawyers won't let him see some of the documents because he won't shut up.
There's no – I could have saved him $20 million. He's wasting his freaking time. There is no hope of changing the system from within the system. All change must come from without. He would have been better off investing that $20 million into disruptive technologies to get around the rig game and to provide more value into the system. $20 million into some lawsuit, he just kissed that all away. And for what?
Well, I think his whole point has been to expose it.
If he got anything really serious out of it, you don't think that they're going to come after him?
He's doubling down, man. He takes Bitcoin on Overstock. He's one of the largest retailers that does it. He does refunds. He pays bonuses to his employees if they want it in Bitcoin. I mean,
I feel sorry for him. I do. I really wish more people would, work outside the system and stop trying to change it. Stop trying to poke it.
How do you work outside and have a online retailer like that?
You
got to
withdraw your energy from them.
How do you do it? What does he do? What is his business model? You're doing retail thing. You're kind of Amazon-ish almost. Kind of you want to not be them. I mean, what does he do?
Yeah.
You change businesses? Fire all those employees? Go something else? I mean, what do you do? He made a mistake of doing an IPO. That was the first thing, you know. But he learned his lesson on that. So he's doing what he thinks is best. I tell you, you guys remind me of each other a lot. Yeah. He's got a mission like you are, but, you know, he got sucked into the wrong game. So, I mean, you know, better him than me, but I'm glad he's doing something. I mean, what else is he supposed to do? You know, just okay.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I don't know enough about him or his situation. I just, I've looked at a lot of people.
All right, here we go. Here we go.
Who have done a great amount of work trying to.
You're listening to the best liberty-oriented audio streamed around the clock, on the air and online. This is the Liberty Radio Network at LRN.FM.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're right back. I want to get right back. This is the one thing that we're off air, we're talking about. You know, there's a lot of opportunities that's being done, and Chris went through this same thing with his family business in New Jersey, I think it was. And yeah. You have, you know, your family's heavy into auto dealerships. Well, what do we see online right now? Missouri's passing a law trying to prevent Tesla from being able to sell their vehicles in the state of Missouri. You know, it's kind of a little stealth legislation. You're not allowed. Well, this, you know, if somebody being you get stuck in an industry, you made the decision, hey, I'm out of here. Well, you got guys like Patrick Byrne doing the Overstock.com. We're taking Bitcoin. I'm doing 20 million lawsuit against SEC and Goldman Sachs and exposing a naked short selling and kind of the system's rigged. It's rigged. And Chris is going, duh, quit playing in it. Yep. You know, but I mean, you're stuck in. So think about it. You got family members. Heck, your entire family. You know, their wealth was based on real estate and access to the customer through our dealership of Law Protect. And here comes Tesla. What's their view on that?
Yeah, I and again, maybe I don't know enough about Patrick and his efforts, but I've watched far too many good people waste too much time trying to get psychopaths to change their rules that they benefit from. There is no hope of reforming the system. That's why I don't even tell people to get involved in politics anymore. I tell them not to, you know, buy, you know, corporate goods anymore. The idea is to devote more and more of your attention on the things that you can control. So when I hear, you know, a guy out there, you know, fighting Goldman Sachs and the SEC and blowing $20 million on lawyer bills, that's a guy who's empowering them by paying attention to them, by feeding their judicial system, by even saying that their courts are legitimate and that you actually have a fair shot. You don't have a fair shot. You know, any discovery, any point, and if you get too deep with them, they will take you out. They don't even have to play by their own rules. I mean, look at John Corzine, you know, and MF Global. You know, here's a guy, billions of dollars just disappear from customer accounts, and the guy gets a walking pass. Like the more evil you do within the system, the more promoted that you get, the more opportunities that you get, and those that try to step against the system inside their system, they get crushed over and over again.
Well, and your suggestion is liquidation,
withdraw your energy,
silver,
legitimacy, your support, anything that you can from that system. And I believe that, number one, the system that we have is horribly skewed. I mean, we have rotting cancer from every single financial, economic, social, relationship angle. I mean, this paradigm must die an awful death. I mean, it has to. Every facet of our life is just horribly skewed outside the lines of sustainability on any level. I mean, you look at all the people that are making millions upon millions of dollars in this paradigm, and they don't provide any real tangible value to improve the quality of human life at all. I mean, the athletes, the celebrities, the lawyers, the bankers, the military contractors, they all just suck, and they're making millions and millions of dollars. And yet the real people that do provide, you know, real value into our lives that makes sustainable change, they're barely making it by. So this paradigm has to end. So
how
my
does
suggestion
it
to anybody
how?
Who's putting any effort into this paradigm is, number one, recognize that this is not a sustainable system and one that you need to create your own independence from. And that how you go about doing that is by focusing all your energy into the things that you can control, whether it's the amount of food that you have in stored, whether it's the physical wealth that you have outside the system, whether it's focusing more time on the real friends in your, you know, get to know your neighbors, whether it's, you know, providing your own energy source and your own food source and stuff along those lines. But then for those bigger players like Patrick Byrne, like, you know, the millions that you're feeding into the system, it's only encouraging them to fight even harder. They gain power off of us giving it to them.
I understand your point, but it's the same as what you and I mean, you know, the fact that I would even, you know, publish a magazine or a newspaper or do this radio show, or you spend your time making YouTubes and doing, I mean, we all got, you know, it's a division of labor, death of a thousand cuts. We're at least exposing something, you know? And I see that's where he's at. Now, of course, we always got what I'd rather somebody do with their money, but, you know, it's their money. Yeah. So, you know, I'm at least he's doing something. He's saying the right things. He's supporting, the change in the cryptocurrency, not because it's Bitcoin, because it's peer-to-peer. That was his thing. Mm-hmm. He goes, look, there's no central command. He's saying all the right stuff. His whole presentation at the Freedom Summit was on how he came to this position through Austrian economics. So I'm just going, you know, I can see why and what. And he's like, hey, you know, because I had $20 million, I could expose the scumbag pieces of crap for what they were. It's on record, and there it is, and Discovery and bite me. And I'm going, but like you, I'm going, yeah, really. Thanks for pointing that out. Oh, we got a judge said so. Oh, we'll get right on changing that. No, I know better than that. Okay, that's not my point. My thing is that nothing changes until the people demand that it does. Every single time throughout history, never do they change anything unless the people insist on it. Now, they can insist on it in various ways, but a lot of it is just, like you're saying, I just withdraw from the system. I'm done. I'm getting off the grid. I'm, you know, producing more of my power, more of my food, more of my education, more of my, you know, health, more of my, and not you. But the man does not like to be ignored. And I have been documenting so much of the crank, you know, that being tightened on everyone and their communication and so on, you know, their Facebooks and their YouTubes and their LinkedIns and their, you know, email capacity and their, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And I'm going, damn, it has to be happening to you. You feeling it?
Not so much. I mean, I've had my channel knocked off a couple times, and I, you know, nothing big deal, but I also don't value it as much. And in fact, every time that the site goes down or stuff like that, I'm like, oh, well, now it's time to move on to do something else. And that's what I think that I've been very good at, is constantly evolving with the change as opposed to enforcing my will upon what I want to see. And I guess, you know, what I'm trying to get with Patrick and all of us is, you cannot change the outside world to make yourself happy or free. You have to change yourself to make the world happy and free. And I think as soon as people start doing that opposite consciousness of stop trying to, you know, enforce your will upon the world, because I think all that does is lead to a very frustrating life. And I've watched, again, a lot of people spend decades pursuing justice in what their mind is, and doing incredible amount of work, doing this. And I think a lot of them, Mike Rupert, you know, this is a perfect example. This guy, I mean, 20, 30 years of just really in your face, calling this, you know, the CIA director out with drug charges, you know, in the early 90s, and then all of his work in 9/11 and all this stuff. I mean, just years upon years of it, and the guy ends up killing himself. Like, and I view that as because he just spent so much time trying to make himself happy or bring peace to himself by changing the world. But ultimately, the answer is we have to change ourselves.
Changing ourselves if we come back. You know that you know, I can't think of a lot of better uses of your time. They might, you know, want to help grandchildren and stuff. We'll talk about it.
This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty in Arizona. Now more than ever, we have to seek out good investments to help secure our future. The real estate market across the country today seems to have recovered. Inventories are low, housing prices have gone up over the past year, and money is available to lend. But you must be careful to read between the lines of what the mainstream news is reporting. There is a shadow inventory, and the market is manipulated by a multiple number of factors. And we will need to anticipate this flux and prepare for the next market downturn in housing. There are many communities across the country today that have a growing mindset of preparing to ride out the financial storm. and Arizona is one of those places. If you are interested in moving to the desert southwest, where we have 3 to 4 growing seasons a year, and the sun is readily available for anything solar, I will be here to help you when that time comes. Feel free to use my webpage at donnahancock.com to search for Arizona properties that are of interest to you, and please feel free to call me at 602-828-1819 to discuss options for your move to Arizona.
Chris?
Yeah, bud.
The I want to get into now what the solutions are. We've got to, okay, we're not going to, you know, vote ourselves free. We're not going to protest ourselves free. We're not going to.
Ernie, I just posted a video yesterday called They Want You, and I posted this formula on that I believe is the result of all human suffering. And it's essentially, you know, collective groups, hierarchical plus hierarchical power structures plus psychopaths. And the video is a 10-minute video, and it describes how those three elements bring about all human suffering. And, you know, I really would like a chance to discuss that with you.
Okay, I'm putting up the video now. Let me see. We might come in with it a little bit. Hold on.
Yeah, you could probably pay the first 3 or 4 minutes of it and get the juice, and then we can discuss it.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll come in with that as the rejoiner. Now, okay. And we'll go for, you know, we get to the human misery part, which is like 2 minutes and such, so we'll go a few minutes.
Yeah, and there's one further thing. Maybe I can pull it up. The lies from the top getting us to give the power up to the top. That's the vital part.
Yeah,
of it.
This is why. Okay, this is what we're doing. This month, we're just finishing up the 36th edition of our e-zine, of the magazine. And 3 years. And it took that long for us to get everything that we want in there. I mean, Freedom's Phoenix is a much wider swath. You know, it's kind of, I got the left and the right, everybody gets to have their say. And of course, I get to, you know, pick the picture. But the magazine was more us. You know, this is what we think. So 3 years of that, I'm good. We used to do a newspaper. Now we're going back to newspaper, and it'll be a hard copy, and then it'll be accessible and linked online like the magazine is. So we're going to be pushing that more as a mechanism for, I don't know, how many minds can we free to whatever. I don't want to change anything other than my world, but, you know, we'll talk about it. Here we go.
RN.FM.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Have you ever wondered how so much evil persists in this world? How we never seem to be without divisiveness, conflict, violence, and war? Have you ever wondered how things seem to progressively become more depressing and ominous? After all, with all of our knowledge, philosophy, technology, and love, how hasn't humanity progressed significantly past the Attila the Hun-style rape and plunder of the world? Oh, sure, we may have a better spin on that now to sell it to the people, but to those on the receiving end of this violence, I can assure you, nothing has changed for them.
Come on!
Any rational look at all of the political corruption, church scandals, corporate crimes, organized crime, censorship, war crimes, asset seizures, Ponzi schemes, terrorism, drug trafficking, famine, segregation, slavery, kidnapping, prostitution, revolutions, coups, torture, apartheid, confiscations, persecutions, mass sterilizations, purges, economic depressions, inflations, forced migrations, crusades, genocides, wars, and quite frankly, any major societal upheaval throughout all of human history all has the exact same formula. The sick part is that humanity seems completely blind to, or afraid to, recognize this formula, and that is why it persists. Please note that it does not matter how large or small it is, or what age, race, religion, ideology, or technology. When humanity has this formula, it will transcend everything. This formula is the greatest truth never told. Here is the simple formula for all of the misery in the world throughout all of human history. Collective populations, plus hierarchical structure, plus power-hungry psychopaths equals human misery. All forms of human misery come from these three elements seamlessly interacting throughout history. any collective population organizes itself into a hierarchical power structure where there is a chain of command that the masses submit to. This could be anything from a homeowners association to a church, a small business, a school, corporation, a military, or a government. No matter how pure of intention or honorable the motive behind the people or organization, inevitably, over time, an element arises inside that organization that seeks to control those inside of that organization, either for power or profit. There are only two kinds of people in this world: those that want to be left alone, and those that won't leave you alone. Those people that won't leave you alone are hurt people that seek to hurt others or control others to prevent themselves from being hurt again. They have psychopathic tendencies and thrive in centralized structures of power where their sole focus is gaining power over those below them. Anyone that has spent any time in any organization finds that over time, that pushy, conniving, ass-kissing, cutthroat, intimidating, or driven people that put their lust for power over their relationships in their lives step all the way to the top. They are the most willing to make the unsocial moves to attain power and even intimidate or manipulate others on their way to attaining power. The ends justify the means in their mind, and if they have to step on a few faces to get to the top, oh well, they'll still sleep very well at night. Once at the top of any centralized organization, they seek to bend the rules to secure power and profit. They bring in those that show the same psychopathic tendencies to change the culture of the organization and to justify any action they might take. Secrecy, compartmentalization, propaganda, they all become more important than the values that made the organization successful in the first place. Once these three elements of human misery are in place, it is vital for those at the top to spread some story, mission, declaration, vision, or lie to the collective below them to sacrifice their time, energy, talents, and money to those at the top of the pyramid. This could come in the form of working extra unpaid hours at some big box store, or investors in a Ponzi scheme, or campaign volunteers, or a corporate career, or an enlistment into the military, or simply believing in the American dream itself. The single most successful military recruiting poster of all time is the I Want You poster featuring Uncle Sam. Uncle
Sam. Well, you know, we think alike. But, that, you know, I'm telling you, man, you know, in fact, that's what brought me to your attention. It was a listener. A lot of the phraseology they found in common. I go, ooh, you need to listen to this guy. And I put up, it was years ago when we first had you on. It was probably at least 4 years ago. I went to your channel, started watching some of the videos. All of a sudden, screw it. I put my feet up on the desk, and I'm, you know, 50 videos in. Okay, so it's I get it. But the thing is that, you know, there's a transition that you made from, you know, being in the system to extricating yourself from the system. And where's the line? How do you determine I am now extricated? You know, what's the checkoff for that?
I don't think you're fully. I still, you know, drink coffee. I still go to movies. I still participate in human society. But I think the transition is, at least for me with my family's business, it got to the point where I could no longer do what I did, knowing what I know now. And not a lot of people are able to even broach the subjects that you and I are talking about simply because they're trapped in, you know, in the position that they're in. You know, I took a huge mental, financial hit to walk away from, you know, my life's inheritance and break from my family. And I haven't spoken to them in, oh, geez, probably about 6 years now.
Whoa, go back. I had no idea you were estranged from them.
Oh, yeah, it was not good. And I can't say it was fully about, just to kind of give you the backstory, I was in the Marine Corps from 1997 to 2003. My unit was the first Marine Reserve Infantry unit to be activated after 9/11. I was a bloodthirsty, you know, let's go nuke the entire Middle East, neocon, you know, total brainwashed guy. And it wasn't until I got out in 2003 that I started to, you know, re-enter into society and saw that the society that I came back to, I just didn't have the same eyes. And it wasn't until 2005 when I saw Loose Change about 9/11 that I started to really question my reality. And that led me to questioning, you know, how is it that I was so wealthy so early on, and that helped me discover that the reason why is because I was creating debt and a debt-based paradigm, and those that create the most amount of debt make the most amount of money. So from 2005 to 2008, I was the annoying truther that ruined everybody's party and, you know, corner people in the room saying, you know, do you know about the Federal Reserve and, you know, 9/11 and just enforcing everything that I learned at such a high level where I ruined every relationship that I had there. 2005, I ended up selling my house at the top of the housing market because I was like, this is all going to end badly, and I'm going to sell out while I can. And thankfully I did. I bought silver in 2005. Like, who the hell even heard of silver back then? But that's me.
And that was I sold my house in
2005. And for the next 3 years, I pushed real hard for my family, and my partners to do the exact same thing. And they were loving their position. They loved, the debt and death paradigm, and they were doing fairly well and kind of wrote me off. And it got to the point in 2008 where I said, this is going to end. And I just got the feeling like things were too good for too long. And I ended up walking away from everything in May of 2008. And Ernie, it wasn't 4 months after the fact, that in October, the economy just totally tanked. And I had already been moved over to a whole nother state. So yeah, I left on very bad terms, both not necessarily all because of the financial things that I saw coming, but because I also saw that there was psychopaths in my life, that I could no longer subject myself to, my wife to, or certainly not my kids.
Well, I mean, who went with you? I mean, did you have any siblings?
My wife. Or? I mean, my wife and my kids. When I talk about my family, I'm talking about my parents, my sister, and, you know, all my extended relatives on my side. But, I ended up leaving with just my wife and my babies.
Did you move?
I left everything. I left my industry. I left my job, my connections. I mean, people don't do that. And I don't recommend people doing that. It's tough.
And no communication. You know, that's one thing I want to. I mean, this is why I do this, is family. I mean, you know, I mean, that's why. You know, I to make that cut is kind of.
You have good people in your family. I did.
Okay, well, that's what we're going to find out. I mean, that's one thing. You'll hear from Stephen Molyneux, kids divorcing their parents kind of thing. Man, don't be in a toxic relationship. Is it that bad? You know, we'll find out when we come back. Yeah, see, that's one thing I want to, you know, I don't give up all the goody in the break, but, you know, that's one thing that is of interest to me is that I wanted to get to, but I didn't know you had no contact, was this industry changing thing with Tesla. And you would imagine that, you know, in New Jersey, no less, where you have car dealerships as your lifeblood, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, we're putting we need some law passed stopping Elon, hell yeah. I mean, is that
the dealer association in New Jersey is very, very strong. And I don't know if any resistance is coming from them or if it's from the state. But, anytime you get anybody who wants to disrupt the game that they got going on, they're going to throw up roadblocks.
Well, you would hope, of course, sometimes they might not, you know, but, as a collective, now, that's what we call Steiger's Law. Whenever you create an organization or, you know, a hierarchy around a movement or a cause, sooner or later, the organization becomes more important than the reason you created it every single time. And that's one thing. Are you at a computer?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm assuming that the site's working because we've been doing some background stuff. Go to Freedom's Phoenix for me, will you please?
Is the site working for
you? Yep.
Okay. Go to, at the top there, you'll see it says, you know, beta testing, blah, blah, Funding Center Marketplace. Click on the Funding Center. It's a big banner ad.
Oh, Funding Center. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, you see Unlocking the Cage, Larkin Rose's project.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is along the lines of what we've been talking about. What Larkin is doing, you know, the greatest superstition, you know, the, you know, belief in government kind of thing. He's doing an interactive, hours and hours long, a video that is an interactive, no challenging, you know, he just wants to find out what kind of level of scumbag you are, you know. Mm-hmm. And as you go through, it's kind of like a bunch of Josie the Outlaw videos. And so it's this project that he's doing. And the reason I'm supportive of this and the authoritarian sociopathy thing that experiment they're working on and a bunch of other things is because I can see that what you're talking about is the problem. It's our reliance on, like, we're waiting on somebody to fix something for us, you know? Mm-hmm. And I'm going, no, but that's a transition that I want to talk about when we come back, is if we're not going to, you know, we're going to focus on ourselves, we have to define what that means. And, I mean, how are children involved in this? Or, you know, do we have family members? Do we, you know, select our friends in a certain way based on what criteria?
Yeah, Ernie, I mean, I love all things bringing about human consciousness and you know, I certainly encourage everybody to continue speaking out and doing stuff. But there's a huge difference between, you know, logically pointing out, you know, our imprisonment, our indoctrination, our disempowerment, our things, you know, like Larkin and you and I and all these guys are doing. There's nothing wrong with that. There's a huge difference of, you know, going into their court system and thinking that you're going to, you know, somehow beat them or that they're going to go, oh, you got us. We're going to throw ourselves in jail and ruin, you know, the entire global economy that's built off of this fraud. I mean, I want people to take advantage of awakening themselves. But I think the fundamental thing that is very important for people to understand is that we are the power in the system. It's not that, you know, they control us. We empower them. And I think that's the change that needs to happen. Like, stop giving them your power.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
And we're back. You know, I'm going to get right back to Chris. This is, I want to make this point. The effort that my wife and I have put into a lot of this has been for what reason? You know, one, I can get you, made you look, and look at what? Look how bad they are. Looky, looky, you know? And it was never to change. I mean, you don't run as a libertarian. You know, I mean, anybody that knows what's going on. You don't run as a libertarian advocating for freedom for the past 25 years and think that you're going to get support. You weren't going to get a bunch of money. You weren't going to get elected. You weren't going to get. But we advocated for a pure form of leave me aloneism. And what happened? You know, there are people with resources said, hey, Ernie, man, you just keep doing that. You're having a big impact. You know, I remember we have probably done, first we got in rolls of 100 of Loose Change that had a big impact on you, Chris. You know, mm-hmm. we had them on Charles's show. We gave them out to the state legislators that then got, I know one state legislator passed out 400 of these. Then we started making, I mean, there's always something that changes, starts people down the path. You know, a lot of people, it was America Freedom to Fascism, Aaron Russo's stuff, some of Alex Jones' videos, some of your stuff. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. We have different projects that we're going to be doing that more. I mean, in fact, the newspaper is to promote one of those projects. So the thing is that I can see that we do have an effect.
But Ernie, there gets to a point where it's almost
where's
too
that
much
point?
And that it becomes
that
a hindrance.
Point? Where's the point? At what point? Who gets to decide what that point is, Chris?
Yeah. Well, it gets to a point. I mean, every individual's got to do it. But I talk about the five stages of awakening. And I think far too much of our, you know, freedom movement and popularity, they get stuck in the bargaining and depression phase where they're continuing looking for somebody else to provide the answers. And I think once people get to the acceptance stage, they no longer need to listen to you and me and Alex and, you know, all these guys where they start saying, okay, the world is fucked up. I can't do anything about it. These are things outside of my control. I cannot affect, you know, any of the multiple things in creating a better world for me. But what can I do? What can I do in my own personal life to make myself independent of this? And I think as soon as people stop, you know, looking at how bad the world is, it's one thing to be aware of it, but it's another thing to be consumed by how bad it is and start, you know, being addicted to this doom porn that goes out. And until people start making positive, effective change in their lives, they will get, I think it's even worse than being totally ignorant to this. I mean, what's worse than knowing the world's going to end and being feeling helpless about it? And people need to start taking positive, productive action. And I don't even care what that is, Ernie. They can just start by cleaning their own room. Like, that is something that they can control and make their lives substantially better than the day before. And if they go about, you know, losing weight or maybe getting in shape or maybe planting a garden or, you know, getting off of Facebook and actually sitting down and having coffee with somebody else or maybe getting the digits off their computer screen into real tangible wealth in their hands, those are things that they will do. And what they will find is they will feel better. They'll feel more accomplished. They'll feel more independent from the system. They will no longer start to care about all these other issues out there that are just distractions from the power that they have. Then they'll find themselves surrounded by more positive, productive people. And you know what happens, Ernie? Ideas start flying, and then businesses are starting to create. That's the flourishment. That's where the power is. So stop giving other people your energy, their attention, their consent, their blood, their money. Stop and start focusing on yourself and start with one thing today to make your life a positive place. And I guarantee it'll set you on the right path.
And what is it that you're doing?
I mean, I spent 3 years in trying to go out there and I was addicted on YouTube. I was putting out YouTube videos every day and every day and every day. And December 31st last year, I did a video called "I'm Done." I said, "I'm done. Stop. I'm done worrying about things outside of my control. I'm done putting my effort into things that I can't." And you know what? From that day forward, all I've been doing is focusing on the positive, productive things that I can do in my life. I make coins. I think these coins are historically significant. They'll be around 300-400 years from now. Can you imagine, Ernie, if George Washington and Thomas Jefferson put coins of the King of England, like I've done with Slave Queen and Uncle Sam character and Warbird and all this other stuff. I mean, I think these are going to be historically significant coins, and I put my effort towards that. I started writing a nonfiction book that I hope will be another awakening like The Matrix was or a lot of these other very popular movies out there to break through and get past the choir that you and I keep preaching to and reach consciously into other individuals who are like, wow, I never even thought that I was a slave. I mean, I remember specifically when I watched The Matrix, I went there for the kung fu. But the moment that he says, you know, "You are a slave, Neo," I remember thinking to myself, thank God I'm not a slave. And that was the first time I caught myself where I felt like I had lied to myself. And I swear, just from that little prick in the pin, that set forth all the other lies to be broken. So, you know, I work on my coins. I work on my website, newsletter. I work on my and this book. You know, I spent the last, 4 months working on the outline. And I just wrote the first three chapters over this past week.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like you're doing stuff to free minds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's something.
Yep.
Well, so and how do you define the criteria for doing what you're doing? See, I mean, that's the people. That's why I have you on. You know, okay? It's about how many minds can you free, and how would you do it? And what benefit does that have to me? You know, I'm glad people's minds are free. I'm glad they feel empowered by when they cast off and they're not looking for permission to put a sign up or something. I mean, once you change their mindset, you know, their ass will follow. So I'm just going, I understand that. But I mean, I'm not looking to get you to vote for somebody. I'm looking for you to count your vote by keeping it, you know, or what. I mean, so these freeing of minds, worthy effort, I think. Worthy.
Yeah, I do. But I also looked at, you know, I became mildly successful on YouTube. I got 65,000 subscribers. When I first started, I thought it was a dream to get 10,000. And I got to 65,000. I'm like, and then I looked at some of the YouTube channels my daughter and son are looking at, and they have millions of subscribers. And I'm considered successful in this field.
Skateboarding, you know? Dogs!
You know? So I'm thinking, wow, as big as I think that I'm getting, it's really nothing. I mean, it's sad that there's only 65,000 people in the entire world that would consider, you know, even clicking a little button that says, "I like your stuff, Chris." So I said, you know what? I think that the return of energy that I'm putting into it and the depreciating return that I'm getting out of it, I need to start looking to something else. And I started to look at, you know, the movie industry and the book industry, and there's just so much more I think it'll be a better way of reaching people outside of our little choir, outside of our daily listeners, outside of the people who get what's already going on, and get them and hopefully reach them with.
I'm a street activist. Story. I'm hip. You know, I'm out. You know, I'm the sign on the overpass guy. You know, and what we did in the 90s up to 04 was a newspaper. I know what the impact was. That's why we're going to go to the street act and the way we're going to do it. And I'll tell you later. But the point is that, I understand you got to break through. I call it the injection of the libertarian infection into American politics, for which there is no cure. But you got to get it into the bone marrow. And how do you penetrate the bone? Well, that's what I do. You know, I mean, it's, and what gets injected in there? Well, hopefully good stuff, but I'm a bone injector, okay? So the thing is I can see that you're doing the same thing. Have you seen the movie Captain America Winter Soldier, the latest one?
I did.
Now, did that shock the crap out of you that made it on the screen?
I did. In fact, I did a whole segment on it in my last report. And those guys are from Cleveland. I'm from Cleveland, and I come to find out that these guys, the producers, are from Cleveland. And that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, Ernie.
Absolutely.
I sat there and looking back and going, is anybody else getting this?
Hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, neon flashing. Hell yeah. You know, and it's, of course, it's Captain America. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm going, that could be another psyop right there, my point is those that hadn't seen, you need to go see it. You know, Captain America, Winter Soldier is just like, wow. It's like we got to do away with Homeland Security because it got taken over by bad guys because it was always bad guys from the beginning, bad guys, you know? So this is, Chris Duane, make sure you check out his stuff, sonsoflibertyacademy.com. And is that the main site that they should go to, or Silver Shield? Or
the best thing is the YouTube channel, The Greatest Truth Never Told. I'm in the process of uploading everything onto the entire academy on there. And there's hundreds of videos that I'm putting up, so it's a great
effort. Are you depending on that? See, you're dependent on YouTube. What happens when YouTube says we don't like Crystal more?
Okay.
We got somewhere else to put it? You got an archive somewhere?
Yeah, on the sonsoflibertyacademy.com.
Okay. Because that's what we're setting up. Feel free. That's the whole point, is that quit depending on other stuff, especially Google.
All right, Ernie. Thank you so much. You're the best.
All right. Hold on a second. I want to talk to you.
All right.
Right back. Third hour. Ademo Freeman, copblock.org. What's happening lately with them? More news.
Did you know there's a...
Okay. Go ahead and freeze that. We don't need to do the video on this. The one thing, Chris, is that, what we did with the newspaper is that we did hundreds of thousands of editions. And I think I showed you the Western Libertarian newspaper. Did you ever see that?
I think so, yeah.
And what happened was we keep developing and so on. And this is the last. It's 36th, 3 years, three full years of our e-zine. So we're, kind of going to put that off to the side for now. We got everything said we wanted to say in that format. So I'm going, okay. We're going to take the same technology and we're going to actually do a newspaper and create InDesign templates for these revolutionaries around the country to do their own newspaper. Here, we put in, loaded it up, and it's got all the kind of done. You can just say print and change a page and arc, whatever you want to do, and done. Go to the local guy here, $1,000, boom, you got 5,000-10,000 copies of, whip ass. So the reason is because they funded the satellite here for a couple of years. Somebody funded that for the network. And when I go to these rural areas, it's like people are listening to the show on satellite, and they don't have broadband like the cities do. So they need kind of a primer of where to go. Like, we'll feature, I can get an ad from you. We'll make sure that happens. But the point is that when they got a newspaper in their hot little hands in the small community of, $10, whatever, and they got the local newspapers controlled by the car dealership and the local real estate guy that has all their boys, if they're not themselves on the city council of we kick your ass and we got a sheriff, And this is common throughout the entire nation. And I'm going, if we can go ahead and give them a tool by which to expose, new ideas and thinking about, the stuff that the people just don't know, I know what impact that has. It's like, slinging out loose change in 2003. I already know what happens. And I tell you, there was Richard Branson, in his London, New York Virgin Airline thing, he had a thing going on with the FAA, and they were trying to limit, you know, the FCC were trying to limit him being able to carry land or something. So he started showing loose change on his transatlantic flights, and they went, okay, maybe we'll work a deal. But so I can see the impact of these efforts, and I want to, you know, I'm kind of, it's all centered around us depicting what we're doing for ourselves and try to inspire. And Donna, you know, starts doing her own lotions and soaps and shampoos. And then we get, you know, her Breaking Bad mud scientist thing over here to doing her own essential oils. And we start, you know, we're building, you know, blah, 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 to do exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. But when you do this and you come up with, okay, we're going to go in the movies, we're going to go in the books, we're going to, you know, you're still, you know, like reaching out to other people. So, I mean, that is a mechanism or something you think's worthy of doing. I mean, you're doing it.
Yeah, I don't think it not reaching out to people, but I mean, just give the example of my YouTube. I mean, I got to a point where I felt like I was getting diminishing returns on the amount of, you know, new people, new ideas that I was reaching. So I said, why am I continuing to do this? So Amen. That's why I stopped doing it. And, you know, well, I have so some kid that's doing all the editing for me and uploading videos, but it's still there, but I'm not, it's not part of my day anymore.
Well, what is it that is part of your day? I mean, what are you focusing on? You're saying the movie and book stuff. What, tell me about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm writing a very, it's, I have read a lot of books. I've watched a lot of movies, and I think this story that I've come up with is just, it's mind blowing. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be the genius that's going to be literary genius to bring it to life and make it what it is in my mind. But I've partnered with another published author who's published three books, and he's helping me in the structure of it and the writing of it, and hopefully we'll come out with something that you know, will really wake people up and provide a good amount of entertainment, but a ton of just in your face type stuff that, you know, you got a taste of in Captain America. I mean, I really enjoyed that movie because of the effort that they put in to, you know, get people past the oorah, you know, whatever the government says, let's go do it.
Yeah, I'm wondering how that made it. There had to be something, nobody said something.
I bet that because it was a Marvel franchise thing that probably no one expected it. You know, it wasn't as if they, you know, created a movie specifically around that. I mean, it was under the guise of that, and I'm sure it just flew beneath their radar, you know?
Yeah, that shocked me. I was like, whoa, because Marvel's been doing Spider-Man, get your vaccination, United Nations bullshit, you yeah. know? And I'm just going, whoa, that Marvel, the guy, whoa, that kind of surprised me.
And I, you know, it's the producers that did it. I mean, they talked about how, you know, Obama with their kill list and stuff like that. It's, I mean, that's right in your face.
It's the producers. Of that
and those guys are, you know, in my hometown. I mean, they're in Cleveland. I tell you what, as soon as I get this book written, I'm going to go hammer on their door and say, you got to make this into something.
Give me the 10-second, your book is about what?
it's called A Decade of Denial and Deception, and it's basically the journey of two guys from 9/11 to, you know, over the next decade. And how one progresses into evil and one progresses into awakening.
Okay. This and, is, you know, I'm, you know, how, whatever I can do to promote. I mean, you know, there's so many other things that are going on too. I'm feeling, that's why I wanted to have you on, is to have this conversation, you know, is kind of, you know, it's coming, take care of yourself, get all your, you know, ducks in a row here. Cause I just the inflationary part of everything. I'm going, man, this, I can't believe. I look at my kids. Fortunately, they got, you know, good jobs, but, you know, I'm just going, look at the Porsche. They don't know any different. I yeah. go, you're working half for the man. I mean, oh my God, doesn't it? Yeah, but I still got, you know, like my street paved. I mean, you know, so I, they probably see it more than most, but I'm just looking at a lot of these young people. Oh my goodness, how much you are a slave. It's just your cage is, you know, semi-nice.
Yeah. And I think when people start to really quantify the amount of time, energy, and money, and then I think the ultimate sadness is watching people who have worked inside the system and then watching the medical system just taking whatever they have left. And so many people, you know, their entire lives are left with really nothing to show for them. I mean, there's no physical wealth that was created there. I mean,
and we need to continue this kind of, we're not done. There's a lot of stuff. Donna, set a month from now to tickle him and have him come back. We're not done. But I got to get to the next guest. Chris, thanks.
Right,
I want to find out more about what you're doing in the progress because, yeah, you know, this Captain America thing shocked me. But yeah, it's just a demonstration of how penetrative we're being into the society. So I think there's stuff happening. Hey,
And Ernie, I think the ultimate thing is 95% of the people are never going to change until the system changes for them. You know, the alcoholic never changes their disease or whatever you want to call it until they hit rock bottom. And I think our society needs to, but we need to be the people there to pick them up on the other end.
Hey, thanks, Chris. We'll get talking again soon.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here!
There's a lot of things to be relatively concerned about, but, you know, I'm, you know, Chris Duane, Silver Shield, so on, he and I, you know, we think a lot the same. In fact, that's how we got to know each other, is people watch his videos, they go, ooh, I think he might listen to your show, man. A lot of the same phraseology and stuff. And I'm going, yeah, I think, you know, like minds, you know, I'm very supportive of whatever he's kind of coming to conclusion of, and it's the same thing. We're starting to see what is at the root of the problem. It's this belief in authority. It's, you know, like you subjugate yourself to a gun, a badge, a uniform, a fine hat, you know, a clipboard with embossed, you know, seal on the parchment of something. I mean, it's always something else, something. I mean, heck, even you wear a nurse uniform and all of a sudden you become a god. You know, I mean, there's something going on. Authoritarian sociopathy, Davy Barker's concept of the experiment of demonstrating something that we probably know, you know. But it's always good to have this kind of evidence. I tell you where you get a lot of evidence. Copblock.org, man. You go to Copblock and it's just, I mean, senior editor at Freedom's Phoenix, photography is not a crime. Copblock.org. He goes to all these sites. He puts a lot of police abuse on there, and to the point to where on Freedom's Phoenix, I'm like, "Damn, man, that's a lot." I mean, seriously, is every cop bad? You know, and I'm going, "Yeah, there's a few, you know, good cops that give the bad cops, you know, like I don't know, any kind of a credibility." I mean, you know, are there good? I don't know. But you go to copblock.org, man, there's like bad stuff happening. Well, we got Ademo Freeman on. Let me go ahead and, you know, give you a little rundown on Ademo here. He's in the news. I mean, he's kind of, you know, since he did his time, you know, for, you know, protesting, you know, he's kind of, you know, chilled out a little bit, but that doesn't matter. Man, they got, you on their radar screen. They're not going to stop. He's in New Hampshire. Ademo's founding member of copblock.org, which he started due to his personal experiences with law enforcement. He's a victim of the war on drugs twice. Ademo hopes to provide people an outlet, support base, and informational site to help others highlight police abuses. Through his contributions to CopBlock, Ademo hopes folks will realize that the problem with police isn't the individuals themselves, but rather the institution. Allowing the government to have a monopoly on protection is the problem, and competition is the answer. Ademo has been involved with other projects such as Motorhome Diaries, Liberty on Tour, and Free Keen. I give you Ademo Freeman. Hello, Ademo. How are you?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on. It's always great to be on the show.
All right, Ademo, hit me out here. You know, the reason I wanted to get Ademo on, there was something that was going on. They're retrying you again for wiretapping of I videotaped the cops something. I mean, tell me everything that's going on there.
Well, yeah, I mean, in a real quick nutshell, I don't want to confuse folks. I've been charged with wiretapping in two different states. One is Massachusetts and one is New Hampshire. The Massachusetts was when myself and Pete Hare, another co-founder and good friend of mine of CopBlock, we beat those charges in a jury trial. We were found not guilty. But the one in New Hampshire was on my own, and I got three felony wiretapping charges for putting a video online that showed a cop using at least questionably excessive force on a student. And then I followed up that video with an interview from the three individuals, all public officials, who were trying to cover that up and or downplay the use of force. And so because I was, you know, in a journalistic role trying to hold some public officials accountable, and the government, the man didn't like that, they charged me with a crime. I went through a trial, was convicted, sentenced to 4 years in prison, that was suspended for 90 days in jail, and 5 years of good behavior, meaning if I messed up after my 90 days in jail, it was just, boom, prison for 4 years, and three additional felonies. That was appealed to the New Hampshire Supreme Court. They overturned it and said, yes, an error was made. The judge said willfully instead of purposefully, and therefore the jury had the wrong instructions, and so their conviction was thrown out. And normally that's when the DA would just not try this case again, figure let it die down, especially since Michael Valentine, the prosecutor, had stated that my goal was to clog a court system and to do jury nullification and to believe in not taking plea deals. But instead of, you know, not giving me another opportunity to exercise those beliefs of mine, they're actually trying me again for the same crimes. All they did was change the word in the indictment and got a grand jury to indict me again.
Okay. Now, indict you for the crime against the same... Did they say all three of these public officials, and then they're doing it again, or did they pick one, and now they're doing a second one, or a third one? How are they doing this without having double jeopardy?
Well, I guess, you know, I'm not a lawyer, and so maybe one, you know, a lawyer can answer this question more clearly, but my understanding is that the Supreme Court didn't, you know, say that I would have been found not guilty. They said that there was an error in the jury instructions, but they couldn't conclude the verdict. You know, so let's use an example of like murder.
So, but you did time.
Well, that's a good question. That's another good question for a lawyer. In my opinion,
it's a good question for my freaking kindergartner. I
understand. I hear you. I mean, I'm the guy who did the time. I mean, to me, this issue was over a long time ago.
They did.
But
you were convicted. You did time. Then it was overturned on appeal, saying they did it wrong, and you know, kind of set it aside. And they go, no. No, we're going to do it again and get... I find this interesting at the least.
Yes, it's very, there are some very convenient things that are partaking place here, but their argument is that the Supreme Court didn't rule on a verdict so that it can go back to a trial, and that's what the state is saying they can do. Of course, we're filing motions to object to that line of reasoning. Who knows how that'll plan out, but right now my jury trial is set for July 14th. You know, even though... They threw out the indictments. The ones I went to jail for, those indictments were thrown out because they understood not only did the judge instruct the jury wrongfully, the indictments had the wrong word in it as well.
Okay, wait. Now, let me tell you what I always know, and this is from criminal defense attorney Mark J. Victor. This is what he says. He goes, if evidence or if any information, anything, benefits the state, it comes in. If it benefits the defendant, it's disallowed. And I'll tell you one thing, it's going to be disallowed. The knowledge to the jury that you were ever convicted or ever served time, I'll bet you're not even allowed to tell them that.
Yep, I'm probably, you know, you're probably correct with that. You know, to them, this is a whole new deal. And to me, that's also my case for, well, then why did I sit 60 days in jail before?
Well, it sounds like you need a PR campaign. This is like you need some jury nullification and billboards of a demo, and it's in every newspaper. You need an activist newspaper. That's what you need.
Well, I mean, we are promoting it as usual at copblock.org. I have a whole page with a meta post from the first trial and the updates to this one. This round, round two, is going to be a little different than round one. The first time around, I represented myself, and I was going, you know, my goal wasn't to get a not guilty verdict. My goal was to prove the justice system isn't about providing justice or mitigating a wrongdoing between a victim and an aggressor. I asked my quote-unquote victim several times during the trial, how did I victimize them, and they weren't allowed to answer.
Oh, sounds to me like we need you in the funding center! Oh, wow. Wow, 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 wow. Bunch of wows. Well, we're going to find out more wows from Ademo Freeman, copblock.org, wiretapping, convicted, sent to jail. On appeal is put aside, and what are they going to do? Put him in jail again? I'm going to try.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda. But now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
Okay, I got a question here real quick. The 5-year probationary, all that kind of, you got to be good boy, yeah, and all that went away, right?
Well, yeah, it all went away. My felonies, I don't have them anymore on my record technically at this moment, and it was just a good behavior clause. It wasn't probation. Probation didn't want me, which is funny, but the good behavior, and I asked them to define that, and they couldn't.
Okay, but all that went away. You don't have any limits.
It all went away.
See, that's right why now, they're retrying you. They want you a felon.
Well, it also has probably to do with because they need to get a conviction. Otherwise, they have to just answer for why I was in jail.
So it's a civil thing. Okay, well, yeah. Have you filed a civil lawsuit?
Well, Brandon, I got an attorney now, and he says he wants to get this squashed, and we think we can get a squash before trial, or we'll file it just before we start trial in July.
Wow, this is wow.
They're fast-tracking this. They wanted to go to trial in July, you know. A little over, you know, a month and a half, 2 months now.
Oh, Damo thinks he slipped through our fingers, and you know, hell no. When did you get this ruling that it was set aside or overturned or whatever? When did that happen? I didn't hear that.
In the beginning of April, it came out that they overturned it. And then by the end of April, I was being charged again.
That pissed off somebody.
I guess so.
Well, who? I mean, is it county, state? I mean, the police, the city, somebody?
Well, obviously the justice, the Supreme Court thought it was worth kicking out, and then somebody in the DA's office, it's a new DA now, so it's not the, Michael Valentine, the guy prosecuting me, is only assistant district attorney. The district attorney is an elected position, and this is a new person. So for some reason, they decided they had an out. They could have been like, well, this was the last guy, forget it. And they didn't take it.
No. You must pay. I mean, the cop, we got some.
I understand.
Well, this is, it's become a political thing now.
Yeah, it's either vindictive or it's part trying to, you know, it's QIA, cover their ass.
Well, how come I haven't heard more about this?
Well, I mean, it's just.
This must be in the newspaper. See my point?
What? I hear you, but I mean, I'm busy. I'm trying to launch a company.
That's
why I got the attorney this time around. You know, I'm gonna let him do his thing.
All right. You know, this is kind of the point. You know, sometimes you're not allowed to just ignore them. You know. All right, hold on. Here we go.
.fm on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
It's the same over and over and over. And then wait a minute, what does the government say? Oh, and they're going to do what this time? Yo, we got a demo. One more time. He goes through it. He gets out of it. Oh, no. We got a refile. Here we go again. See, it's the same over and over and over and over and over. You know, and I tell you what the problem is. The problem is very simply that we don't really understand what we're up against. We are up against the unlimited resources of the blood dripping off the fang, pointy horn, pointy tail people that will not rest until what? All dissent is squashed. This is all about compliance. You will comply. You will respect my authority. And anybody that has not respected that represents that, certainly with something like copblock.org. We got one of the founder guys underneath there, and we got him. He's a felon. Felon! Did time, felon! Got to do this good behavior 5 years, that felon! And then all of a sudden, it's overturned. It's set aside. It's done. It's purged. So then you are not under your five-year good behavior thing, or you're also not a felon anymore. Is that right, Ademo?
That is correct. All that was thrown out with the Supreme Court's decision.
Okay, now that was thrown out what date? When was this? You got notice.
I don't remember the exact date, but it was at the end of March or early April.
Okay, so early April, from out of the blue, all of a sudden this decision comes out, hey, never mind, it's all wiped off, and you went, well, that's better than not, right? That was a party.
Yeah, I already did the time. I wasn't going to get the days back, but I figured, hey, at least I don't have to worry about that good behavior clause, and I don't have these ridiculous felonies hanging over my head. And so for whatever that's worth, it was a relief, not knowing that, or knowing that I wouldn't be thrown right to a prison cell for 4 years for something minor.
Okay, now then what happened? I mean, and how long after that did all of a sudden they go, and we got new paperwork for you?
Well, shortly after, within a month, I already got paperwork that I was going to be charged again. But then I had a court date on April 24th, I believe. And on April 24th, what they did was they threw out the old indictments. They had the word willfully instead of purposefully in them. And so that was the big hang up with everything. And so they threw those indictments out and gave me new ones that had the correct term in it.
Okay,
so,
okay, time out.
On the 24th, I was put on a $10,000 PR bond, which is basically the same clauses as the good behavior clause. Only I also owe them $10,000 now if I get in trouble.
Yeah. See, the purposely, willfully thing, that little stuff, they don't give a crap. That was an excuse for the higher court to say no.
It also opens the window up for the law. It's like willfully, purposely, expectation of privacy. These are all words that are like, you have to select the term. First of all, it's oral or telecommunication. And oral is like me talking to somebody in the park and somebody standing with a microphone nearby. They're intercepting an oral communication. Or it's a telephone communication where like you and I are on a telephone right now. And if there was a third party out there tapping this communication somehow that we couldn't see, that's tele. So like the law is written so poorly that like you have to select an element and then go to the next stage and select an element, and then that creates whether it's a misdemeanor or a felony. And the state is choosing, they're pushing the word telecommunication on me, and it's convenient that lands in a felony, which is the prison terms, the extra man's thumb over me, when the other way is a oral communication or party to the conversation, that's a misdemeanor. And I most likely wouldn't have done any of the time that I did, And so
no, this is because they can thing. I mean, you guys represent a thorn in the side of law enforcement and all we rule you people across the planet. And they're going, you know, damn it, he got out of, he's not a felon. Ooh, he could like run for office and get guns and stuff. And it's kind of, you know, one thing that I would have done immediately after that, I mean, in hindsight, you know, it's like, I'm not, boom, you file candidacy for something.
Well, technically, I have felonies from distributing marijuana in like 15 years ago.
Oh, okay. So,
well, now 12 years ago. So I was already a felon. This didn't change anything.
Oh, okay. I thought, yeah. All right, well, that's...
For the record.
You got that. Yeah. I mean, you know.
But it's a mix of vindictive or whether they want to save themselves for a lawsuit, because in my opinion, I went to jail on indictments that were recently thrown out, and now I'm being charged on new indictments. So these are two separate incidences, in my opinion. Or there's Michael Valentine, who said at my sentencing... He said, Your Honor, this is almost a quote. He said, Your Honor, I'm asking for jail time 1 year now and a 4-year prison sentence suspended because this is primarily about deterrence. He said, Mr. Miller needs to be deterred from doing these actions as well as the people in this courtroom. And so I went to jail, you know, that they've stated it
political
in open
dissident.
Court in record that they want me to go to jail to squash my, you know, actions or opinions or the ability to inspire or influence others.
Absolutely.
So,
it's the most dangerous thing.
So maybe that's what they're doing again. So if it's not that, then
no
what is
shit,
it?
Sherlock.
Exactly. Well, if it wasn't clear enough.
You know, this is... I'm sorry, did I say that out loud? You know, of course they are. You know, this is like, you know, it's encouraged. Look, he got away with it again. They got away in Massachusetts. They got away. Damn it. So, I'm like, wow, this needs, okay. So the audience understands, and I, you know, give this example. We are going to go back to the, you know, printed paid newspaper. We do nice stuff. I mean, you know, we've done it before. And that, in fact, that's what we were known for before the internet and we started doing Freedom's Phoenix was our newspapers. And so I can see the benefit of it. Can you imagine, you know, on the cover, you have a, you know, nice graphic and everything, and the inside is legalized methamphetamine by Mark J. Victor with an exclamation point. You know, when to shoot a cop by Larkin Rose, and this cop block story, a Damo Freeman's experience. I mean, just those three stories right there. I mean, I got Department of Homeland, whatever, tapping, you know, another layer of tapping. So I'm going, you know, if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer. But, you know, you always got to be prepared for that time when they come busting. Creedy comes busting in your door. Not so funny now, is it, Mr. Funny Man? And they slap you upside the head with their nightstick. And I'm going,
yeah.
This is where they're at on you. And I'm going, and so we have to... Do we have to make them pay? Do we got to get this information out? Do we really need to, you know, kind of show that there's people using this as example of them just being stupid? I mean, what's learned from this experience? What are we supposed to get out of this, Ademo?
Well, I hope people realize the system for what it is, that this isn't about justice or keeping your community safe. I mean, like, are the people of Manchester in a threat for me? I mean, first of all, I no longer even live near there. And second of all, I highlighted a case of abuse. I didn't wiretap anybody. I called public officials during their publicly funded jobs on their publicly funded phones. You know, there's no expectation of privacy, so there's no wiretapping.
Okay, more when we come back. We haven't even gotten to some, you know, tactics. It just happened. You know, now what? I don't know. I guess we get to play. Yay. We'll be right back. Ademo Freeman, copblock.org.
Liberty activists.
Holy shit, Ademo. I mean, is this like you're going, you know, again? I mean, is this starting to nut you up in the gut? Are you kind of, were you appreciative of the month that you got to, like, chill? I mean, you know.
Well, I hear you. To me, it is what it is, man, and that's what I'd like to say when we get back on, is that there's nothing I can do here. I'm powerless. I hope everyone realizes that everyone else is, sure, I can bring attention to it. Sure, we're going to get a lot of eyes on it. At the end of the day, if they want to put me in prison, they're going to. Because right now, if I were to run right now because I really believe that's what they were going to do, well, then they'd go and get me. And then when they bring me back, I'm definitely going to jail. Even if I beat the actual charge, I ran. And so then if I resist them when they cage me, we all know how that happens. And so whatever. To me, it is what it is. I'm going to go on with my life. I have a great guy, Brandon Ross, who's willing to represent me pro bono because he knows I'm getting a shaft. And folks can donate to them if he wants, but he's not asking for anything. and I think I'm going to go on doing my business and trying to live as free as possible.
Well, this is exactly the reason why we have been beta testing, created, and working on the funding center. I mean, have you gone to Freedom's Phoenix Funding Center? You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Are you
we
at
just moved.
Are you at a computer? Can you get online?
I just stepped outside, but I can get on there as soon as we're done here.
Yeah, go. Why do you need to be outside for reception or something?
Yeah, and there's other people working in the office. There's like four of us here.
You go to Freedom's Phoenix, and you look at on the top there. It says Funding Center, and you know, we put Larkin Rose's Unlocking the Cage.
Yep.
We have James Babb Jury Nullification Billboard Project. We have you know,
sort if you like the project, you fund it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I mean, it's set up for you to set this up. It should be up there, and we can promote it, and it's done. You know, Larkin's been doing... It doesn't track the Bitcoin. It just goes straight, so they have to put that in manually. So there's really quite a bit more than just what it shows there, because a lot of it's Bitcoin. But the you put your thing up there, it would help. I mean, you know, we had one... You know, I was kind of surprised it didn't get more attention. I haven't really focused on it, because we're doing a bunch of back-end, you know, fixing software and updating stuff, but... I'll start making some more points. Of course, that's what the newspaper is going to do, is promote, you know, our marketplace and the funding center too. But the guy that went up at the most valuable, the MVP award after the Super Bowl and grabbed the microphone, went 9/11 was an inside job. I don't know. You remember that?
Yeah.
Well, that guy, you know, we put him up a little $2,000 funding thing because they didn't want to play. They just decided they didn't. They, you know, $500 fine, misdemeanor, and done, you know?
Yeah.
And we were already, Luke Radowski told me, he says, hey, man, this guy, you know, he's getting a shout. Well, I'll help him. You know, let's rock and roll. And then, you know, I guess the man was listening to the phone conversation. They go, you know what? We don't want to rock and roll on this that much. We just let that one go,
good.
You know? So, so that's that kind of thing. I mean, and certainly this kind of thing. This is
sure.
Seriously.
I mean, I made an update video, and it has Brandon's stuff in there, and I can help give you whatever other information we need.
You can just go in. You can go put it up now. I'll have Donna help you do it. Done. I mean,
well, I'll get it.
Seriously.
I hear you. I'll get it done. I just want to bother with those guys that are working right now.
Yeah, no, so I'll have Donna walk you through it. I got a busy day today, maybe tomorrow, but I got tons. I hired a guy just to do video. I hired another guy just to do layout on the... You know, paper. We're going serious on this because I feel it coming. It's time.
I hear you.
You know, I feel the pressure everywhere. All right, hold on. Here we go.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Running back to their trough, which is we rule you and we can do whatever because we can. And they're doing this with the Damo Freeman, copblock.org. They're just, you know, he had, let's talk about the original charges real quick. You know, I mean, just to kind of, you know, get up to speed. Let me do the Evan Wood version here real quick, the speed reading version, and fill in where I leave off. There was a young kid. He's some little, I don't know, 13, 14-year-old snot, whatever, school cafeteria, being disrespectful, little whatever the heck. And somebody was videotaping on their phone. They're taking a video capture of this, and he pissed off some campus cop guy, and this guy just beat the snot out of this kid. And I'm going, wow, excessive force. Well, yeah, I mean, does the kid need his butt whipped? I mean, they need to be out of the public schools, first thing. But, you know, the government school. And what happened was that video just went stupid. Well, of course, you know, it was there in New Hampshire. So a demo is cop block kind of thing. He calls up, makes a video of him phoning the PR department or public relations office, something, anyway, officials. And as he's videotaping that and putting it up, and they're like, oh, you should not have done that. Boom, guilty. Guilty, 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 guilty. He does, they give 4-year sentence, suspended. He does 90 days, and then it goes on through the court system, and they, you know, vacated the whole, they just dismissed everything and said, oh, it was done wrong. Boom. Immediately, they refile again. We're going to go at it and put you back in jail again for the same thing. How far off am I?
That's pretty accurate. I mean, one thing I'd add is just that I was in Manchester there was an incident called Chalk to Police where 4 off-duty cops in Manchester, New Hampshire, beat up a guy, and they weren't held to the same standards that everyone else was. And so I was there promoting that when I met the kids at the high school. I had met these kids who took this video a week before the video was shot, and they tried to find me afterwards. And then the when I got the video, the public officials I called were a principal, a secretary, and a captain at the Manchester police station. And so after a 6-month investigation, they didn't charge any public officials, not the principal who tried to cover up the case and have the video deleted, not the secretary who tried to assist with that, or the officer who put his hands on a child. You know, like Frank Harrington, the kid who was assaulted by this cop, Danielle Murphy, she stated to the news, she said, if her daughter had taken the same video in her home of her father doing that to his son, CPS would have taken the child the next day, but this officer was back at work the next day. No repercussions whatsoever.
Yeah, see, I don't see what the lesson is. I mean, you're locked into it, so we got to do it. I mean, it's like jail time threatened over. You didn't. It's done. You know, here we go. But what do we have? We have time served. We have a well-documented story, and we have a court, dismissing the whole case. And them refiling it, and here we go again. So I'm like, you know, I can't think of a better, and it's cop block, and we got the funding center, and we got Freedom's Phoenix, and we got the newspaper, and we got, LRN, and I'm like, all right, you guys want to play? Let's play, I guess. I mean, I'm not sure what is to their advantage. I don't understand what they're motivating. Why would they do this? I don't understand how they're going to come out. What are they trying to prove that they're?
I mean, I guess that's a question best answered by Michael Valentine, the assistant district attorney who's prosecuting me for the second time, which is also a very coincidence thing, is that it's the same prosecutor and the same judge. And, you know, how am I supposed to ever expect a fair trial from the people who just got slapped in the face, by their higher ups? You know, they're probably taking some sort of personal, reaction to this.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean,
it's kind of interesting.
These kind of people in these kinds of positions don't get there because they're, nice guys. I mean, seriously, so this is, and they're getting support from somewhere. I mean, is it the electorate? Is it the people? Are they, are there townspeople and businessmen? They want a demo blood or what?
Well, by the few local outlets besides Cop Lock and Keen Cop Lock and some other organizations that I'm either with or affiliated with that ran it, all the mainstream or the local papers had comments that were saying things like, what a waste of money. He already went to jail. What is the point? And so it doesn't seem like the community or the taxpayers of the area are really in support of this happening again. Michael Valentine hasn't issued a statement on why he's pursuing it, so I guess anyone's guess is as good as the next person's.
Okay, they're going to trial.
Really see what they're, yes.
Very, July, this is trial. I mean, trial. Right away, trial. Boom, trial.
When they redid my indictment, the judge asked if they needed more time or needed to figure anything out, and Michael Valentine was like, no, we can pretty much, meet one more time and have the trial on July 14th. And so, he seems confident. He seems like, maybe not even confident, maybe happy, I don't know. He's raring to go. And so, July 14th, it took a year to get my trial going before last time, almost a year, about 10 months. Now we're talking about having it done in 2 months, in a 2-month span.
My criticism of, I'm glad, it's the love thing and everything, but just, going up to the man and dunking him on the chest and, and ha, 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 I stepped outside the circle kind of thing. You know, I mean, what do you show me? That they're bad? I mean, you know, I get that. And this is just more evidence of it. So I'm wondering, at what point do we got to, you know, antagonize? I mean, you know, Cop Block shows what they were doing. You know, people, you know, photography is not a crime is another site. You know, the kind of stuff that we do, 4409. I mean, we show, look, they're bad, but Cop Block goes one step further and goes and shows that there can be some retribution, some accountable action, you know, to demonstrate, to go. And that, they definitely don't. They may not like, you know, you pointing out, you know, when you caught them on their dash cam kind of thing. But, I mean, a guy jumps on top of a girl's hood because she's leaving a desert party or something and shoots her, kills her. Boom. You know, I'm going.
No, I understand. I mean, we're at the point now where it's, but there's not much I can do. I mean, I'm not representing myself this time. Brandon Ross, a New Hampshire-based attorney here, is passionate about the case and the cause and the, how bad.
Why? Who's he? Why do we trust him?
Well, he's also a member of the Free State Project.
Okay, well,
that
helps.
That's where I've met him through other outlets. I mean, he's a little more in the system than I prefer myself, but I believe he allocates his time down the beach of Liberty, and that's good enough for me. And so this last time I represented myself. I wanted to show the system was, you know, not a justice system, but an unjust system. And, you know, that was effective and I thought it was over, but now it seems more vindictive and it seems like some black magic, you know, lawyer talk, motions and other things might work in this scenario because there are a lot of legal questions to my case, even if you break it down in freedom of speech, journalist rights, whatever, et cetera. But as well as whether or not the punishment fits the crime or I should even be tried again.
These are the kind of issues with this kind of story that make it to the Supreme Court. And the reason is because, you know, one, it's base fundamental constitutional issues. But I found this out when I was doing, I had a few cases go to the Ninth Circuit. And when I went to reference them, because there were some decisions in my favor that I wanted to use, and they said, oh, no, didn't you know? They only publish what they want. Now, they're there. Yeah. I mean, you can go find them. But in the published, you know, recorded law book of, and I'm going, where's this case? They go, oh, didn't you know? They only publish what they want. And I go, well, what the hell do they want? Whatever has the greatest public interest or public knowledge or public. So you got to make sure yours has a lot of public, you know, so that it gets, you know, up to the attention of this is a good question of, you know, Glenn Greenwald kind of stuff. You know, this is journalist. This is exposing. This is, you know, you're Snowdenizing them, man. You're not allowed to do make them look bad. You know, so I. Damn, man, right now. All right. Well, if they want to play, I'm willing to help play. Let's go play. But I'm like, damn. They're going to, I don't think they're going to come out looking good on this one, which is, I don't know, I need to show how bad they are again. Seriously.
When it comes to investing in precious metals, you need a source you can trust who offers you choices and empowers you to maximize your wealth. That's where Roberts & Roberts Brokerage can help. Roberts & Roberts is a trusted name in precious metals. Since 1977, Roberts & Roberts has been providing you with the finest gold and silver bullion, coins, rounds, and bars at genuine and honest prices. They make it easy to invest in precious metals and work with you to suit your investment needs. In addition to offering gold and silver for sale for U.S. dollars, Roberts & Roberts Brokerage is now accepting Bitcoin in exchange for their quality precious metals products. To speak with a professional from Roberts & Roberts about investing in precious metals, call toll-free 800-874-9760. Write this number down, 800-874-9760. Visit Roberts & Roberts online at rrbi.co. That's rrbi.co. On behalf of Roberts & Roberts, here's hoping your day is as good as gold.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges start a conversation with your neighbor or your doctor or your family or your school. Now there's teachers and lawyers and business executives and they all wear shiny badges and they all reject the state. Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges show the world that you reject coercion and aggression and oppression by the state. Shinybadges.com.
Do you got time today to talk to Don or Gina to load this stuff up?
Sure.
Let's go ahead and, Donna's got magazine to finish. Let's go ahead and I'm going to put it down to call it, set a time. She's going to need probably 45 minutes with you. Demo. Call. Set time.
Yeah, any day, Monday through Friday or Saturday mornings are good.
Okay. We'll get this taken. Yeah, dang it, man. I hate. Well, all right. They want to play. Here we go.
FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Who grew up tall and proud in the shadow of the mushroom cloud? Which now voices can be heard?
It's kind of, if you're going to be fighting these kind of battles, you're going to be demonstrating the evil of, it's always good to have really good examples. But it sucks to have a good guy like Adamo in the middle of it. But, how are you looking at this? Is this a, are we going to go PR war on this? Are we going to use, let's rock? Or is it kind of, we'll just go through the system and see how the system works? Or, what's your approach on this, Adamo?
Well, I'm definitely going to do all I can to promote it and get it out there via coplock.org. But, I don't want to prepare for a legal case again. And I'm glad that Brandon's representing me because it's just not something I want to allocate my time to. I'm more involved with trying to launch a business. And, I moved out to the country. We got some chickens coming and, all these great things that are going on that I feel are more beneficial to my life and productive. I also feel that I'm making that decision because in the end of the day, what can I do with this case? Even if I allocate all my time to it and I run to the top of the mountain and say, look what they're doing to me, the outcome is still going to be the same because they're going to do whatever they want. And, if I run, they'll bring me back and they'll throw me in a cage. If I try to resist them, they'll do worse or still put me in a cage. And so it is what it is. Everyone knows the system's busted. It will be highlighted, it will be shared, and I hope other people who haven't learned that the first time around can the second time around. But at the end of the day, I don't really want to allocate much of my resources to this case. I'll post the updates. The jury trial will be video recorded and the outcome that'll happen. But I'm an activist, whether I'm in the big free range or the cage jail cell anyways. And so I'll be spreading the ideas or doing whatever. I'd much rather be outside and advancing, my personal life and business than inside. But, if they give me one more example here through this exact case to say how messed up it is and how wrong the system is, it was interesting. Michael Valentine told the jury that my goal, was to clog a court system. And yet he wants to give me another chance to do it. So, hey, we'll do it.
I am, wow.
Jail doesn't scare me anymore. I know they're not going to put me, the maximum sentence is 21 years. The last time
that
I was
all? Just,
well, but I hear you, but the minimum was 7.5 to 21. And last time they sentenced me to 4. They didn't even sentence me to the minimum. And, I'm not trying to say that, no balls or calling him out, but they're not putting me in prison for 21 years because if they do, the reaction would be way worse. They put me in prison for 3 months, and people were like, hey, that's, we'll see you in 3 months. I don't think they're going to say, hey, see you in 21 years.
Okay, I want to make one comment and get this out because I feel it is detrimental to your case. And so I got to say it. And it has been, if you do not have popular support of the townspeople there or them agreeing with this went a little over if you do not, then they're going to keep coming back. Because the thing is that, they are not in a vacuum. They're doing what they believe they can get away with. And they can only get away with what the people allow them to get away with. So if you got, this antagonistic relationship with the townspeople or the businessmen or the, the main street or, the commerce of the whatever the heck, they are going to keep coming after you because that's why they are there.
Well, I hear you, but that would require me going down there, spending hours of my day or weeks in the upcoming, you know, days to my trial to, you know, get these people riled up. And then it's just for my cause.
No, that's not my
point.
They
come up there for my trial, and then they go home for the next person.
No, I'm talking about years of keen street activism that takes the form of, you know, tapping, you know, everybody on the chest. And I'm going... When you are, like, integrated into the community, be voluntarist, agorist. Hey, we're out here having fun and partying and doing whatever and chilling and, you know, being self-sustaining and, you know, getting outside of the, you know, bite me. You know, we're not asking for permission. We're not doing, I mean, I have an understanding of that. I'm just like, you know, if you don't have the townspeople on your side, you can expect this kind of stuff. I hope, if I have to use your example as a lesson... For that very thing right there, that's what will happen.
Well, this is Manchester, New Hampshire. This is the largest town in New Hampshire. This town, in my opinion, is the people aren't happy with what the government does there, but it's too far, too gone. You know.
Okay, well, that's a good point.
You know.
So I'm just you understand my point because I'm thinking it's not just Manchester or Keene. It's Free State Project, New Hampshire legislative. We got to get nip it, and it's all a demo.
Sure.
You know, I mean,
well, there's a lot of people that are in support of this. I mean, there's been conversations in the House, thanks to some Free Stater reps, about the wiretapping and how vague the law is written. So, like, this is definitely having a ripple effect. I can't say for certain that the former DA did or didn't get elected or move up in the political chain because of some of the current reps' views of him prosecuting me. You know, I'm not to say that it was or wasn't that way, but it's a possibility. And so there are definitely rippling effects. I mean, I get emails or people comment or post on the social networks or cop blocks interfaces, you know, saying that this woke them up to, you know, the injustice or they have a relating story. And so,
yeah, see,
it's huge.
More than this is an attack on how scumbaggish they are. It's information on how repressed dissent is. You know, I keep hammering on this with a lot of different activist things that I do a lot on this show around the country. And it comes down to this. They're always like, look how bad they are, how bad they are, how bad they are. And we got to get them for being bad. And I'm going, yeah, I'd rather, you know, look how bad they are and how much it affects dissent, how much it affects the people, how much it affects what you can and what you're afraid to do. It puts you in a mindset that you got to turn yourself in to somebody. You just don't know to whom or for what. You know, or I want to do something. Where's my permit? It is a corrosive effect on society. And if you look at it that way and how all the people, they are affected by this kind of stuff. They, in their own personal relationship with government or even their neighbors or how they communicate or what they say or how free they are, is just direct corollary to how dissent is treated. And I'm going, how do you get them engaged? How do you get the people involved? How bad they are? No, it's how much it's affected their personal life and what they can feel free to say and or do. And I'm going, and that's really the reason for this. All dissent must be squashed. Look how we're squashing it. And we don't care if they did time and retry and we're going to squash. And I'm going, wow. You know, so this is not just a Manchester, Keene, you know, Berlin kind of thing. You know, this is, you know, I go Nashville or whatever. This is a state thing. This is they are feeling threatened. There is no place for them to hide. They are starting to, because it's a small state with a lot of influence, of a lot of activists. There's way too many bright lights that are shown on the corrupt guys at the top that are always at the top. That's why you want to see how big global bad government is. Look at an itty bitty little town. You know, who's the prosecutor? You know, the city attorney. Who's the chief of police? Who's the town manager? And who's the judge? Those four positions. You know, the city council, mayor, and crap don't count. It's the guy that, you know, files the charges, the guy that enforces the charges, the guy that, you know, manages the charges, and the guy that judges the charges. You know, you get those four positions, you can see exactly where, you know, things are going. And this is a good example. Are you ready to do the fight? Do you have to engage now? I mean, it's like you have to, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, like, you know, what the listener should know is that the city, the state, my name, all these things could be easily swapped out for their city, their state, and their name. You know, I mean, this isn't just like, you know, this is how the system is these days. And sadly, until folks, you know, in more masses enact in the noncompliance, then, you know, this is what's going to continue on. I mean, I believe that, first of all, what they do to me isn't going to be what they threaten to do to me. And so that's why I have less fear. I also believe that they've hung themselves by playing around with these words. And so this case probably won't make it to trial. But, you know, who knows? I've been wrong in the past.
You know, the trial is going to be out here. And I don't even care. That, you know, that's not the trial. You know, there needs to be, you know, just an understanding. Now manifests itself in, like, you know, campaigns and who gets elected and laws passed and all. I mean, it all that's a direct result of the culture that's being changed by just demonstrating what they're doing. I'm not at, you know, doing this kind of stuff or highlighting this stuff or helping with this stuff because I think it's going to change one thing. You know, even though it's a good friend, Damo Freeman, you want to make sure that he kind of, you know, gets this anvil from hanging over his head. But I'm going, you know, this is a much larger thing. You know, this is a psyop that that of course they're trying to use, but we use it against them, and we know how, and I think we will.
Since time began, tyrants have taken aim at...
All right, man, let's engage. Holy shit.
Right?
No, let go. The, I tell you, my concern is that, you know, how it will affect you. Because we went through this before and you wound up doing time. And my thing is, that you go, well, of course they're not going to, and we're right of the, they don't care. You know, the fact that the court even made this a little, you know, kind of dismissed it on these little issues, it just shows that, you know, they're like, ah, you know, he pissed. Did they want to do that so they could get at you again? Or was
well, I don't
it,
know, like. Part of me thinks, too, that the judge and the Michael, because like, they've fixed in on telecommunication right now. They've stricken oral from the indictment. And that means that the telecommunication is clearly defined as me having to go to Fairpoint or Verizon's like data center and be tapping it at that point. Like, what I did was clearly an oral because it was on speakerphone. You know, it was an oral communication. I didn't use any device to tap a line, plus I was a party to the conversation. And so Brandon's like, I wonder if they're trying to give us an out. That, like, they don't want to drop it or they just want to hand us an out. And so, really, I don't know. I have no idea, man. And maybe they do, but I think the judge is going to have some hard questions to answer.
Yeah, no, this is.
He sentenced me to 21 years in prison. The same judge sentences me to 4 and then turns around on the second time and sentences me to 3 times as much.
They logic and reason is not in their mix. That's not the point. This is a last gasp. Of a mentality that has infected our society. And they can see that everything, it is so because we got a law and I have a shiny badge and a robe and I say it's so because it's so. And when you guys have challenged that, and when you challenge that, they are going to be desperate in what do they have on their side. It's not logic, it's not reason, it's not justice, it's because they can. And they can
well, I mean,
until
they
can.
If they just wanted to lock me up, they could just lock me up. I mean, everything's illegal. They could figure something out that's less argumentative than this.
I don't know. I think there's, you know, when you have people, boots on the ground that have to actually do it, you know, there's some liabilities there and, you know, somebody's got to be in on the deal. And you, copblock.org, yeah, they got to do it in a certain way. There's limits. You're a little bit higher up on the, you know, if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, that's kind of been my thing. So my deal. There's Neil Smith saying, it's like, if you're not at least a little uncomfortable with your position, it isn't radical enough. You know, how can you take a two-principled position? Take the most extreme position you can. You'll be claiming territory you won't have to compete for later, mostly with your allies. And what I took from that was that if you're going to be, you know, freedom-oriented, liberty, anarchist, kind of leave-me-alone-ist thing, you go extreme. Yeah, everybody should have their own, you know, freaking Apache attack helicopter, you know. Babies get, you know, AK-47s at baby showers. I mean, you know what? I mean, I you know, you got to take these hardcore positions and then be able to argue them, because if you start putting, you know, limits on who can and can't and control and gift to your sons at what age, kind of, you know, who's in charge if it's not, you know, your child or your body or your mind or your, then whose is it? You know, well, it's of course theirs and they control and these kind of issues that come up. That's what they don't want you thinking about. All this Lark and Rose stuff, all this authoritarian sociopathy stuff, all the cop block stuff, photography's not a crime, Freedom's Phoenix, the newspaper. These are the kinds of things, legalized methamphetamine, you know, when to shoot a cop. And I'll tell you when, you know, I got out of that when to shoot a cop thing, that really was a powerful article. It was sometime before the sliding door on the cattle car closes. I don't know when, but it's before then, okay?
Right.
So when that is, you know, to individuals is an individual decision. But it's before then they send you to the cyanide showers. I'm going, can it be before then? Can we all agree it's before? No, you must voluntarily go to death. Somebody's got a piece of paper that a judge signed. So once you challenge that idea right there, the entire system starts to fall. And that's what they're afraid of. And they need to show, demonstrate, you know, that, you know, political dissent will not be tolerated, even the demo, blah, 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 blah. So I'm going, it's such a perfect example and a perfect person and a perfect, you know, place with a perfect, that I'm wondering why would they would bring, are they trying to out all of us to see who comes to your aid or something? Is it, you know, creating a database of, you know, who we got to get and, you know, Captain America, Winter Soldier, the targets of the man going to shoot whatever, you know?
I hear you.
Did you see that movie?
I don't think I saw that movie.
Oh, the latest Captain America. Go watch it. You will be shocked. How the hell did that make it on the screen?
Right.
Because I'm not even going to say anymore. Just go see it and you'll go, what the hell just happened? At the end, the last 10 minutes of the movie, you'll go, holy crap, and they let that movie be made, you know?
Wow.
No, seriously, you got to go watch it. You'll be writing about it. You go, damn, I had Chris Duane from Silver Shield on in the previous hour. He went and saw it. He goes, yep, I thought the same thing. It impacted him enough that it really encouraged him to keep doing, he's diverting to books and movies. He's writing books and scripts and everything. You go, yep, I see how much of an impact this has on culture. So it's changing, and I can see this instance here having such a big impact on what we're wanting to demonstrate. I don't understand what they think they're doing. It has to be a personal thing. It has to be, you know, just they can't sleep at night knowing that they didn't something.
I think the truth is sadly going to be a mix of both. I think that part of them thinks that they'll save themselves from a lawsuit, that they can get a conviction, they can say time served, and then it'll be okay. But the thing is, I'm going to argue that I'll go back to jail for 90 days. I sat on a different indictment. You know, you guys should lock me up, and I'm still going to sue you for the other day, the other time. Or it's a mix of both, that it is personal, that they do want to lock, they're like, forget it, we're mad, and we're going to throw the book at them this time. You know? And so, whatever.
I'm sorry you're in the middle of this, but I think we should
take advantage
of
it. I don't feel like it, man. I really don't, like, man, it's just like, it's such a drain, and like, I don't even care. To me, this issue is really done with. Like, Sons of Liberty Mint is my focus, you know, like, we've just moved to a new facility, we got two new machines, you know, things could be doing really well there, and I think I can have a big impact with that, you know, and so, I believe Brandon, if, you know, a lawyer could probably get me out of this, and so since I have one that's not willing to charge me an arm and a leg or ask me to make donations on other people's behalf, then, you know, I'm going to let him do his thing. He got the appeal overturned. You know, he did that. That wasn't me.
Oh, really?
You know?
Okay, well, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, he got the appeal. He went and argued in January, and then they gave a ruling in April. And so, you know, that's awesome. And so I think that he would have success here. I think, like, you know, if it's not before an emotion, it's going to be at jury trial. I think it won't be 2 hours. It'll take longer for them to convict me. You know, the other thing is, if we do get into trial, you know, like, they don't, all their evidence, like, we're going to file motions to, you know, the only evidence they have against me is an edited video. They didn't raid my house or take my computer. They don't have a raw video. For all they know, there's a missing link out there. So, like, they'd have to prove that I didn't tell these people. You know, another interesting fact is that the principal, one of the people I wiretapped, she was fired from her job for a closed investigation shortly after this incident. And so she did something wrong. And so, like, they might have fired her for trying to cover up the video. The thing is, nobody knows about it, but we're going to file a motion to get that.
Ooh.
We're going to want to know why, because she's going to be a witness.
Ooh.
She's left the state now.
Oh.
She's left the state. So she's not a happy witness anymore. She's not a former employee.
Oh.
You know, so it's very interesting. They're really screwed here.
Oh.
You know?
Oh.
Or what's more likely is they'll probably drop the charges against her. But if they drop the charges against, like, they knock it from 3 to 2, one of them is the secretary, and our conversation interlinks with her. So they either have to drop both the secretaries, or, I mean, both the high school officials. They drop them both, and then I'm just wiretapping a cop. And how the fuck are they going to convince a jury that I wiretapped? The cop was like...
Because, I understand. I'm like, okay, this is...
They're really screwed. They're really screwed.
Donna, do you have time to start the file on him now, the funding thing? I mean, you got magazine stuff. How much you got?
I'm available tomorrow, too. I mean,
okay,
let's do
tomorrow. Go ahead, and you got time tomorrow? Okay, we can even do it during the show. I don't care. You can do it. Okay, so tomorrow morning, Donna's going to try and get... Go ahead and email them when you send them all the archives and everything. You know, set a schedule for, you know, get this up there. I want to get this up there. The thing is that the newspaper is going to be more of a thing than I think people realize. You know, a guy here, Jeff, is, you know, come in. We're going to be working on it right now. And because I already been through this, Adam. I mean, I was you 20 years ago. I mean, you know, I can see how rural America, they have the local little newspaper that's controlled by the local developer or the politically connected chamber of commerce auto dealer. And they tell everybody what's what without any real competition. And that is where where they have their main support gets their validation of whatever the hell it is. And when you start having a good interactive internet newspaper video and search terms of the highlighted whatever the here we go, and you could change in, and we put it in a InDesign template that has everything done in local area, because Pensacola is going to, you know, Tim and those guys and Megan are going to have their own couple of pages of whatever the hell they want to do. You guys do whatever the hell you want to do, and the entire template's done, and you just do and take it to the local printer and done. You do your own little funding center of kind of will help with the kind of, and you got your local whip ass. And I'm going, I already know what's going to happen. They can't not react. It is going to be devastating. When? During the 14 election cycle in 16. This is going old school. I already am with, and I talked to Ian, and I said, if I do this, I need to know that the satellite is funded. And he said, yeah, it is for another year or more. And I go, good, because a lot of people in rural Arizona that have been coming up to me, I go to these events, and they're like, yeah, I listen to you on satellite. And I'm like, how in the hell did you know to listen on, where did that come from? Because rural America does not have the capacity for radio or anything to really get any variety. You know, it's like clear channel of scumbag, whatever the heck. And if that. So what they did is they just get satellite and they go through. And I remember this. It was shortwave in the 90s. And that's where a lot of these, you know, activist kind of Alex Jonesy things came from. You know, so I'm going, okay, I've seen this before. It was 20 years ago. It was called shortwave radio stations and so on. They're going back to, you know, finding, like, what they hope is the truth. Now, back then, it was more, you know, religious kind of patriot stuff. But I can see the same kind of thing with the younger generation and older guys. And the problem is the local newspaper. That is where they get their, you know, brainwashing of, you know, whatever. And they don't cover anything of substance. And why? Because they get all the public notice classified stuff that by law they have to publish. It. They get their subsistence from government. That's all that's left.
Exactly.
You know, so I'm going, okay, I'm seeing what's happening here. And I've saw it a lot before. I mean, we made a big deal out of this, you know, a long time ago. But I'm going, all right. So what I'm going to do is include this story. I need you to write it. I need you to start writing. And this will be part of what goes into the funding center, because people need to know what they're funding. So I need, if you already got an article, cool. If not, keep in mind, national distribution, primarily rural America, and they are going to go, yep, and that happened to me, yep, and that happened, and that, same thing, there it is, I see it, I got a story to tell. And I need you to put that in, however many words you need. I mean, if you're going over 3,000 words, you're babbling, but, I mean, you know, try to, you know, skip to the end. But But keep in mind that this newspaper will have hot links that you can go. Not only can you PDF it and download to your mobile, whatever the heck, the whole thing, but each article be separate. And the links in the articles, they go online. They can go to videos. They can go to the site. So I need an interactive article that would be to go into a national publication of the Levolution. You see my point?
Yeah, sounds good.
So I, how long before you can have
that? I can have one by Friday for sure.
Oh, no. We got at least a couple of weeks, 3 weeks.
Okay.
Jeff's over there Friday.
Well, then I do it this weekend.
Yeah, get on this, and we'll keep crafting this. We're going to spend some time. We may go back and forth on these, because when is done, it not only is it going to be a file that can be, upload, download, mobile device, not only is it going to be hard copies that people can order as many as they want, not only is it going to be that, it's also going to be, interactive in that you can go and search and find any and everything with different search terms that people that have dial-up or they just got satellite, they don't have the broadband that a lot of people are used to, certainly in the cities. And I don't know where you're at, but a lot of times they just can't do surfing of the web like we do. So you got to give them the search terms. It's like cop block and accountability this, photography not a crime. You put the websites, you put the search terms. Even if they don't go online because they got dial-up, they don't have the bandwidth to do this. So they just put in one thing. Ooh, that's good. Ooh, and that's good. And I can see what's going to happen. I already know. So we got to hit it hard right from the beginning. And I think what I'm going to do for the first cover, we're going to use the first cover of the magazine, the girl in silhouette cutting the bob wire. And and I don't know if I'm going to go, I think I'm probably going to go black and white, call it pen and ink, pen and paper dot info is the main site I got for it. So this is going to be our national, because not only is it going to be these files, it's going to be an InDesign file that somebody can take, replicate, print locally, change a couple of pages, do whatever the hell they want. This is going to be the next wave of the Levolution. We're going to go back to taking the printed page because we're going to buy it because, look at CNN. They're what, they got 200-something thousand people watching? That's it, nationally?
Yeah.
They're done, man.
I hear you. More truthful media, whether it's in print or online or a mix of both, is definitely going to be needed. I know Pete and them just launched a newsletter at CopLock because we didn't want to lose the social network advantage, so we have another. And he credits you for, advancing or putting that need on his radar, so
I can see it happen. Everybody, well, I tell you, it was like Angel Clark. She was real big on social media doing, and she goes, I got 60,000 friends. The guy go, no, you don't. Zuckerberg does.
Right.
It's going to come down to, you're not going to have, what's their email? I don't know. I just email them through Facebook. Yeah. How's that? Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
So I'm in support of it, man. I'll hook up with Donna. I'll get the GoFundMe going. If she sends me or you send me the details to the, I have a bunch of links that have been built up, but I'll write a summary, in definitely 3,000 words.
Get the the issue on this is the quashing of political dissent.
No, I understand.
This is just a neon flashing example of how far they're willing to kind of, here it comes. I understand. And there's a lot of really good nitty gritty issues in here. And there's difference in laws and different state and, I'm preparing for the worst is yet to come, and I don't want to be, in the crosshairs of, over here on stupid stuff. I don't want to challenge. I don't want to be thumping them on the chest. I don't want to, that's not, I'm trying to make the people and even, people that are kind of, well, hell, everybody's in the system in one way or another. So I'm just like, we can't keep making antagonistic enemies of everybody. I don't like that kind of activism. I'm the flower in the gun barrel guy. It's much more effective, and that's why there's certain people I like working with on different things. But so then that's kind of how I do the paper. I'm going, do I emphasize the negative stuff or the positive? I got to be. I don't want just to be controversial. Just to be controversial. It's controversial because it makes you think. Before the cattle guard. Car doors closed before then.
You're right.
Before then. So, yeah. All right, I'll let you go. Go ahead and count on tomorrow. Donna will spend time with you. Start thinking about this article. This is a very good part of being in this, and it will help with the promotion of the Yada Yada, and we'll get art and so on. And I got to meet with a guy now. But we're diverting all the our expert everything into this. This is going to be the flagship of a lot of the stuff that we do, because I can see how powerful it's going to be in rural America. Where
are you selling ads in this thing?
Yeah, we'll have sponsors and so on, you know. But I'm not going to be.
If you don't have a Mint sponsor yet, I'll put some Sons of Liberty Mint ads in it.
I'm sure that, you know, that, of course, Robertson Roberts is going to have it, but he doesn't. He wants to support you guys, so he doesn't care, you know.
Okay.
Does he buy metal from you guys at all?
Well, I mean, I touched base with him when we released the one on Stun, and I sent him some, but he didn't really get back to me after that, to be honest. And we've just been rolling, so I haven't really reached back out to him yet.
Well, where's your market? Is it online, or do you just local guys using it, or what?
Most of our market is online. We do a lot of sales online, like 80% of our sales. So.
All right. So, Donna, tomorrow you're going to get him in the morning?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So she'll get you in the morning tomorrow. So that means like 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock your time, she'll be calling. And, So it'll be about then, and she'll just get this in. And even if we don't launch it yet, because I want it to be all nice and pretty perfect before we make a big woohoo out of it. Because we're still doing some behind-the-scenes updating site, doing changing. That's another thing. All the browser stuff is being changed, all the, more consolidation and, of different companies and feeds and webbing and doing, and there's weird shit changing. The end game is coming. And
I hear you, man.
And I can feel it. And that's where, why your newsletter thing is a good idea, getting your emails to everybody. So, I could feel that coming.
Awesome. Are you guys coming out to Porkfest this year?
Yeah, I think, Don, we're going to go stay at Joby's and Stephanie's, and then a week's, and Don and I may do the radio show, but we're not going to do any work or speeches or, booths or any of that stuff. We're going to try and make it a vacation.
I'm sure we'll see you there, but if you guys, we're in Tamworth, which is like an hour and a half south of Lancaster. So we got like 60 acres out here. You guys can come chill or check it out or make sure you stop by.
We might make a road trip just for that. Yeah. Well, tell me, I haven't heard anything about Pork Fest. It's like, it's like a whole new crowd doing something. I mean, I talked to Bob Murphy in Texas, and he said he's going to be, kind of hosting some stuff. Other than that, I don't know anything.
Yeah, I know, man. I haven't really kept my ear to the ground on that stuff the last couple of years, but I don't know, man. They want a lot more money this year, and I don't know, they're kind of getting a little tyrannical, in my opinion, but I just try to steer clear of that and be more positive, because Pork Fest is awesome. So,
well, I'm going
to
go
up, I do my thing, and I contribute in my own way. So,
yeah, I'm going to meet with some. I'm going to use the radio show time that I do live there as kind of the round table, a bunch of the guys. It's like Larkin and Brett and Richard Grove. I'm trying to go up there, and a bunch of the guys we're going to, as part of this paper and launching Defending Archimedes thing and your stuff and all that, because I'm more than I want to play in the crowd. I just want to start having, these are the conversations that we had leading up to the Lovolution when we started it in 2007, even before Ron. And it was, we could feel what was coming. And I go, you just wait for, here it comes. When it hits, I'm going to pull, you watch what happens. And when Ron even said, hey, I'm thinking of kind of, I already knew it was going to happen. And they're like, Ernie, how'd you know? I'm like, how'd you not know? Well, this conversation that we'll have at Pork Fest with the guys, and of course I want to include you and Pete and so on in some of these. I just as much as possible, I can feel it, and there's a role that we all can play. But I want to keep everybody out of jail. I mean,
that might be impossible. Some of us will probably end up there. Some of us maybe even worse.
I know. I'm trying to avoid that.
I hear you, man. I mean, we're all doing some awesome things. I mean, and so I think, keep going and, solidifying the network is cool. I try to do as much Sons of Liberty Mint business, whether it's getting, we use Liberty stickers to get business cards and other things. Amagi Metals is our supplier. I like to advertise with as much Liberty-minded folks as possible. And so it's creating these things that, require us to be, or enable us to be self-sustaining and off of their grid.
Yeah, we're doing all this. Yeah, we're trying. All right, I'll let you go.
All right,
Donna will be with you tomorrow. But long-term burn, we're on board doing kind of creating everything for exactly this kind of awareness of, know, let's go free minds kind of stuff.
Sure, sounds good. Thanks again for having me on.
All right, man. Peace, brother.
Later.